had to kill some time on Anderson, came back to the seat. Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome to the Film Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts. Got some rocking music going on. We're getting pumped up.
Rocking, bruh.
Yeah. Today's episode, top five acting performances by an athlete. Why? Well, we got the original sports guy from the Adam Carolla Show, and now from NFL Network, Dave Dameshek. Is Dameshek in the building? Have we laid eyes on Dameshek?
He's not here yet, but he's expected to be in 15 minutes.
Expected by who? Not you or me.
Yeah, by fate.
Oh, is he late? Is he known for being a late guy?
He'd be considered flaky.
Is he black?
No. He likes the black and gold. No, big Steelers fan.
Not that it's racist or anything, but I know, like, you know, you never want to be the first guy to the party because you're kind of, like, nerdy. Like, if
right,
you show
sure.
up early, whenever I'm at camp, I'm always telling that to my kids. Like, they always have a dance the second to last night of the session, Brian. And it usually starts at 8, and some of the kids are like, let's go. Always the nerdiest ones. We got to get there. We got to get there in time. It's like, no, guys, you want to be cool. And always, like, the black kids in my cabin as well as in the real world. Like, Jay-Z shows up to MTV Music Awards late.
Yeah, of course.
Because you're cool. But I didn't know Dave was black.
You're cool?
Yeah, you're cool to show up late.
Black?
It's like, you know, I'll get to your little shindig,
right?
But on my own time, because I got my own thing going on.
This is the second day in a row I've heard you talk about your camp.
I didn't talk to you yesterday, so that's impossible.
I was listening to Miss Movies Minute with Anderson Cowan.
Did I talk about my camp on there?
You did extensively. Talked about your Ronald McDonald camp.
I try not to talk about it.
All right. Never more.
So let's do this.
Top five acting performances by an athlete with Dave Dameshek, probably. He will be in here. If by the second segment you hear he's not here, it means he's flaked out completely and is not sure.
Is that a possibility? What am I doing with my life?
Possibility.
Really? Are you prepared?
I give him a 65% chance of showing up.
Really? I had no idea that's what I signed up for, because I would have said, fuck it. Because I don't want to have a war with Dave Dameshek, and that will be the case. I will hate him forever.
Right.
And I will probably
– that might work out well, though.
95% of the rest of the episodes we ever do in the Film Vault. I'm talking like 10 years from now. I will be talking about him disparagingly.
We should have talked to Dave about his top five grudges, because Dave holds on to
– So do I.
Dave – oh, perfect. He holds on to anger. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He thrives on conflict.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'll do? Just to
he likes to declare himself a man of peace.
If he doesn't show up, I will hound him, bug him, guilt him into giving me a tour of the NFL networks.
Oh,
yeah, and then yeah. I won't show up, and then we'll be even, and I'll feel okay. Yeah, that's what I'll do.
And Richard Eisen will stand there next to him, like, I got to meet Anderson finally. And
I'll have to do that.
Don't show up.
We've met, and we've talked.
There you go.
He called me legendary. I blushed.
He was a member of my fraternity, and I realized.
Oh my God, I'm out.
No, and I realized while he was sitting in the Carolla Show studios just the other day, I thought to myself, wow, how sad is it to be the second most famous bald podcaster from your fraternity? And turns out it's quite embarrassing, actually. What are you doing in there? Are you dialing the phone? Anderson has retreated to the vestibule that is usually just occupied by the phone screener. What are you doing? You're out of your seat twice already. We're like 5 minutes into the show. Not even.
First of all, I had to turn down the light and make it more moody in here so that I didn't have to see you so clearly. Secondly, I wanted to make sure that no one could hear us clearly at all because
You know, the screener
booth has monitors in there.
Yeah.
And sometimes we funnel down the hall, and I don't want anyone hearing this show.
One time this became a nationally syndicated show.
Quiet.
For about 5 minutes.
No, it did not.
Okay, sorry. I've heard wrong.
Let's go.
Before we get into the top five performances by an athlete.
I'm excited about not going to the NFL studios.
Yeah, you're looking forward to that?
Yeah.
That'll be good for you.
Because
just down the street. The irony is
– I know. I pass it every night on my
way to work. The irony is his work could not be closer. He actually is probably closer than he's ever been to the studio.
He a drinker? Is he a drinker?
He likes a beer.
Yeah.
He's a beer? He's a big Sierra Nevada fan. No, he's usually got a – I think he has a kegerator. I think he's like a big beer connoisseur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've had discussions about this. He definitely has a keg rate.
I mean, I know that he had like an hour in between to kill in between his job and here, so I'm thinking, did he go on a bender?
How many sports bars are between NFL Network
and
Displays?
Let me count. Hold on.
There's three, half a dozen?
Three, four. There's at least four.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot of temptation for a man. What are you doing after this, buddy? You want to get a beer?
No.
Oh, you got to work.
I quit drinking.
You did? What? Why?
It's tough. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Were you forced to quit drinking? You're wearing an ankle monitor?
Nope.
Let me see.
Got to quit the smoking. Got to quit the drinking. They go hand in hand, Brian.
Oh, yeah, because you can be chipping. You can be chipping away.
I would love to have a couple beers, but I would immediately think that it's a fantastic idea to play Frogger across the street to the nearest gas station and buy a cigarette. And I've seen this in a couple movies now where people who are quitting smoking, like me, will buy a $7, $8 pack of cigarettes, pull one out, and throw the rest of the pack in the trash. That's a money move. I don't have money to do that with.
Yeah, that's a high society move right
now. I'm not going to do that.
So this is precipitated by your quitting smoking. Good for you, buddy.
I can't quit smoking and not – if I drink, I will smoke.
How many times have you quit smoking in the last –
75.
Okay.
Let's go.
You're agitated. He's agitated, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's go. Let's talk movies.
There's like when people announce things to ladies and gentlemen.
Flick fashion.
Flick fashion. We start off the show like we start off
flick
every
fashion,
show.
Flick fashion, ladies and gentlemen. Flick we're fest. Doing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, here come the flick fashion. We're going to confess the flicks we've seen in the past week. I've got a confession of a flick I haven't seen. Mm. I did not see Enemy Mine. Mm. We talked about it last week on the podcast, which in reality was 2 days ago. Yeah. So Anderson and I both talked. We're like, we'll see you next week.
Enemy now.
Enemy then. Enemy later.
Enemy later.
So Enemy next week. We'll see it. Enemy Mine. And that's streaming on Netflix if you want to take your time and see it too. Yeah. To follow along.
Yeah. Go back to the old Logan failed attempt at adding something to the show, which was preflection, which I appreciated.
Here's
and I
your
like
preflections,
Logan. We're going to pre-flick. Yeah. We will be watching Enemy Mine. Why don't we all watch it? Then I can be terribly embarrassed if it's not the movie that I thought it was, because it's been 15 years since I've seen it. I loved it. Dennis Quaid, Lou Gossett Jr. He plays an alien, yep. Brian. That's racist. They're on an abandoned planet. By themselves, maybe an asteroid.
Well, don't spoil. I don't know much about
the
movie.
No spoiling.
I don't know anything about the movie. I really don't know anything about it.
With these lips.
I really don't know anything about it.
So we're going to talk about the last three films we saw. Brian, I will go first.
You will go first.
Just to get this thing moving.
Okay.
Just to get it going. my list, Brian, the narcissistic side of you will be very thrilled.
That's the majority.
By that I mean, all of you will be thrilled. Your feet are not very narcissistic. The rest of you is
right.
Thrilled to hear that I have an entirely Brian-based flick fashion list.
Well, yes. Look at this. One of the movies I saw was specifically because you talked about
it. If you're getting uncomfortable now, it's like we're like, I can do it. But piled on, it's creepy.
Sorry.
It's creepy.
Fuck you.
I'm getting to my notes. Wow, that was harsh. That was unnecessary.
Notes?
Seemed too much. All right, I'll just God damn it, where are the notes?
You and Damashek have a lot to talk about with your Pittsburgh sports love.
I don't want to talk about that because they're losing. Okay. Number one. I saw a movie called Shattered Glass, which you've brought up on numerous lists.
Shattered Glass, biopic. Oh, top five biopic.
Checked it out based on reality.
Small movie.
It was a true story of a young journalist who fell from grace when it was found that he had fabricated over half of his articles.
Stephen Glass had completely made up some articles, just made up people, wrote about things that never happened, people that didn't exist. And he went to great lengths – sorry to interrupt you, but I'll set the table for you – great lengths to carry out his deceit.
Saw a lot of similarities and parallels that I see in my own working environment where the good guy is actually portrayed as the bad guy and thought of as the bad guy by the majority of people who we work with. That's Peter Sarsgaard, who kind of knew that Hayden Christensen's character, Stephen Glass, was lying and being unethical. And poor Peter Sarsgaard is the one who took the brunt of the
he was an unpopular hire.
Chloe Sevenly wanted – she wanted to brown bunny Vincent Gallo, Hayden Christensen, as far as I could tell. She loved him in this movie.
Yes.
He had his little underlings and his little ladies.
Crush.
And she wanted to bang and suckle. Hayden Christensen – biggest problem I had with the movie, Hayden Christensen, very unlikable. And but I know he was supposed to be, but that's a hard –
but
hurdle.
Charismatic though, right? You can see how people will be drawn to him.
No, not really.
No?
I'm sorry. Are you mad at me? Are you mad at me? I probably just shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry. Are you mad at me? That got fucking old, Brian. He said it 9 times.
Yeah, that was his catchphrase. You mad at me?
The writer.
I'm sorry. Are you mad at me?
The actual screenplay for Shattered Glass was a writer and an editor, and he also wrote Friday Night Lights.
I did not know that.
Yeah. But this guy, you could tell while watching, much like The Wire, Brian, which you'll never know about, but you could tell that the people that had created it, that were working on it from the inside, knew what the fuck they were talking about. This guy was obviously an editor. Mm-hmm. I thought that maybe he was actually the editor, like Peter Sarsgaard character was the guy. He was actually the guy that was on the inside, the editor at the time all going on. Not quite that closely based, but
I think he ended up dying. Oh, no. The Hank Azaria character ended up dying.
And Steve Zahn. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
He did.
The Azaria Dawson's in it.
Steve Zahn worked for a little in the movie. His character worked for a little independent internet web-based.
Are you being serious? You're joking. He worked for fucking Forbes.
No, but it was small at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, this movie, the whole thing that took place, Steve Zahn was the little guy and they were going after the big guy.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yes. Sorry.
Okay. And it was just internet-based. It wasn't actually in print at this time. And this, anyways, his character was very likable. Thank God for Steve Zahn. He showed up just when
great.
I was starting to think.
And he played a straight role, by the way. Steve Zahn wasn't goofy at all.
I don't know if I want to finish his movie. I was starting to get there.
Really?
And then Steve Zahn to the rescue.
It does start a little slow.
Back in.
Steve Zahn definitely played a straight role.
I'm sorry, but are you mad at me? I'm sorry.
Are you mad at me?
It's a tough hurdle to
he's constantly carrying around a backpack. He's very infantile.
To conquer when you got a movie and the entire fucking movie is about a real life character who is very unlikable. I mean, at least give me a little pizzazz.
But that was the character. The character was meant to be.
But if your entire movie is based around that asshole.
Yes, he's in almost every shot.
Yeah.
There's something about we got to make a list or something about movies like where the character's sort of spiraling out of control or just getting himself deeper into something. You're like, well, how's he going to get out of this one?
Unraveling.
Yeah, getting himself into tougher situations, you're like, well, how's he going to get out of this one?
And
he does.
My number one?
What?
Breaking Bad.
Okay.
I think of it
not
as
a film.
Oh, well, I think of it as a 50-hour long movie. it's really good.
50.
A little longer than Das Boot.
That's right.
All right, another movie that I saw.
What'd you think of Shatterglass?
Holy cunt. I thought it was all right. It was like a solid 3.5 star.
Okay.
4 star.
All right. I can see that, yeah.
I like it. I'll never forget it. I'm never going to forget that movie. I'm never going to forget the story of Mr. Glass.
Yes. Interesting.
It was interesting. It was that. But very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable movie to watch.
I agree.
He's getting his comeuppance.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of squirming. There's definitely a lot of squirming going on.
And I didn't like him, but it wasn't like he was a child rapist where I was like, yeah, let me watch him get his fucking comeuppance.
No, it wasn't at all.
This is uncomfortable.
Yeah. He constantly is inventing new lies in the flies. Like, oh, they were doing this. Oh, did I say this? I meant that. Like, you're like, oh, he's only getting deeper.
I'd like to see Shattered Glass with commentary from, what's his name?
Stephen Glass.
Stephen Glass, yes.
That'd be interesting.
That would be interesting.
On the DVD that I saw, there was a Stephen Glass interview from 60 Minutes.
Oh, cool.
But it wasn't a commentary.
Really? I would have liked to have seen that.
I'm sure it's on YouTube.
It's
a 60 Minutes segment. yeah.
Thanks
Number
for
two.
Killing the momentum there,
No,
buddy.
there was no killing.
Now you just got me all bummed out because I didn't see that. It turns out the real Stephen Glass went on. The whole time I'm sitting there thinking, just write fiction, man.
I just read an article about
it. Write fiction. And he did. He wrote a book.
A novel.
About telling lies.
Yep, about a journalist who lies. And also now
so that wasn't really fiction,
to,
was it? That he, wasn't really fiction.
Kind of was.
He's It'd be
trying
funny
to,
if that, that novel was actually – it was like his – like the whole book is just him saying that he's being told – that he's being accused of lying, but he's really not. It's like he's trying to clear himself still.
Right.
You know what I mean? If it was a fiction.
Like, it just keeps going on. He's actually – he went to law school. He graduated law school and he's actually trying to pass the bar. No, he passed the bar, but he's trying to do the get ethically cleared because he had a door to pass the bar exam.
I don't know if he can.
But he's trying to – in New York or Florida or somewhere like that.
Really smart guy. Very interesting guy. And a fun little movie. Just he's a dick. He's a pain in the ass. And
he's infantile.
I'm sorry. Are you mad at me? I'm sorry. Hey, can you promise me this, Brian?
Hmm?
Shatterglass has come up a lot.
Okay.
Can it be dead now? Can we be done with it?
I
don't think I have
anything more to say
about 4 or 5. He seemed to have a lot to say about it. He just interrupted me at least a half a dozen.
Sorry.
There's less bars, sports bars in between here and NFL Network than the amount of times you just interrupted me.
One more thing about Shatterglass.
Oh, my fuck.
Okay, go ahead. Number two.
Really? Nothing
No,
more?
Nothing else.
You sure?
The girl who played the dark-haired girl who liked Stephen Glass ended up playing the wife in The Informant. That's all I got.
Thank God I gave that opportunity because I don't know if I could have gotten through the rest of the show without that information. All right, another
Where's
movie.
Where's Damashek?
Somewhat. He's got 3 minutes. Settle down.
3 minutes.
Another movie that was somewhat inspired by you, even though it was already on my queue and I already heard about it from Bill Burr. Bill Burr had talked about it. I'm like, this sounds like a fantastic movie. I can't wait to watch it. It stars Moises Alou, Brian. Bill Buckner.
It does?
Alex Gibney.
Oh.
Steve Lyons. Bob Costas.
Yeah.
Most importantly, Steve Bartman.
Fucking,
I'm talking about Catching Hell.
That's it. ESPN
Talk
movie.
About unfucking comfortable.
Yes.
This movie rules.
Fantastic film. I mean, a documentary from ESPN, but fucking great.
It's not on Instant, but I think I found it on demand for free or whatever. So it's just, you know, the same thing.
Sure.
Took some notes here. Let me find my notes here. Brian took some
ESPN documentary from, I believe, like September last year.
I must have been drunk when I watched this.
What?
Oh, never mind. That makes sense. My first note is no Steve Bartlett. I'm like, well, there's a lot of Steve Bartlett. But it was very fascinating because it's all about the fan who reached out for the ball and caused Moises Alou to drop it in the playoffs, the ALs, and the National League.
National League Championship Series.
Pennantship, yeah.
Championship Series against the Marlins. Cubs were winning in the – I'll fill in the blanks for you. The Cubs were in the eighth inning, I think, of their game. About to go to their first World Series since 1945 or something. And – oh, no, that's not true. 84, they lost.
Whatever.
They had one World Series in 08.
Since the Curse of the Goat. And they were on the precipice
of going to the World Series.
And everyone thought that once they got to the World Series, they're going to win the World Series. And then
they had a great team that year.
This poor kid, Steve Bartlett, sitting there on the railing.
Bartman.
He reaches out for the ball and causes Moises Alou to fuck up. And the rest of the movie is all about who's the Steve Bartman. And it was more about scapegoating.
Yes.
And about mob mentality than it was about actually Steve Bartman.
Much like Heckler is more about criticism than it is about anything that happened to Jimmy Kennedy.
Exactly. And like you said, I think when you flick fest a few weeks ago, it really was broken down much like the JFK.
Scientifically.
Yeah, much like the JFK, the Zapruder tapes.
Yep, Zapruder.
Zapruder. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. Very, very uncomfortable. Never really do get to see Steve much. There was like composite pictures of him and what he would look like now. It was fascinating. It was funny. It was sad.
Didn't someone track him down, but they never got an interview with him or something?
They talked
like that?
To him in a – I don't want to spoil, but yeah.
Okay,
I
mean,
it's fascinating.
Really good.
And
Damashek, thumbs up or thumbs
would
down?
You settle you down. Your goddamn interruption is like at an all-time high tonight. What is that?
Do you see Catching Hell,
what's
the Steve Bartman doc thing on ESPN? You didn't see that?
He's going to be in here for a full hour in a minute.
Thumbs up or thumbs down on that
one? Oh, my God. He's ignoring you, as I would like
He's
to do.
He's big timing me.
I can't. I can't ignore you because I have to sit across from you and do a show with you.
Go ahead.
It's really tough.
Steve Bartman, Catching Hell. Steve Bartman, Catching Hell.
You know what? And here's my little trick. Anderson, it's cool, man. It's just the tumor. It's not his fault.
Yeah. It's compressing on my interrupting gland. See, look at that. You're back.
Karros, very nice guy.
Eric Karros.
I never thought I would have liked him, but I liked him.
I hate
he was
that
good.
Fuck.
He was good in this movie.
He's a nice guy.
But I highly recommend Catching Hell.
Yeah, there's stuff about Bill Buckner. There's all sorts of
– a lot of Buckner stuff. But it's more, like I said, more about the scapegoat and human mentality of the mob mentality, which I'm very disturbed by, very creeped out by. It's how Nazis were existing and thriving back in the 50s. It's how lynchings occurred because of this goddamn weird mob mentality that we all have in our DNA. And I fucking hate it. And the information – I mean not the information. Some of the – like the when they were pulling Steve Bartman because like, it was like – crazy. Everyone at Wrigley Field wanted to kill him. And they're the most docile fans probably in Major League Baseball, maybe in all sports. Can you imagine this happened like in Raider Nation or something?
Oh, yeah.
That guy would have been killed.
He'd been a dead man.
He'd be dead. Well, he wouldn't be a Raider fan to begin with, probably. But, I mean, here are some of the things that you hear people when they're – because they have security go down there and take him out. This is an elaborate plan, needlessly elaborate, perhaps. They put him in like security clothing and he hid out at one of the security guards' houses who was like right around the corner from Wrigley for the entire night.
Yep.
Because they were afraid he's going to be killed in the streets. And here are some of the things that I heard, like, somebody should put a shotgun in your mouth. Pull the trigger.
Get that drop.
That's the best you could come up with as you see the guy who's caused all this angst being walked out.
It was so crystallized
stupid.
Very well for me. And wasn't the documentarian in the stands? Like, didn't he have like a little home video camera? He was in the stands with his friend, and like he was like a pretty docile guy.
So that was
like
the guy that made the documentary. I didn't pick up on that. There was a guy that they were interviewing for. Everyone that was like sitting around him, and a lot of them had video footage from their phones.
But they were in like a different part of the stadium, where like, and it kept getting worse. It kept like getting text or whatever. Like,
I don't know if that was a documentarian, but if you're correct, they're great.
Either
Alex Gibney.
Yes, mob mentality. You're absolutely right.
And
good
finally,
movie. Good movie.
Finally, Jesus. So to finish this off, I'm going to be real quick with this one. I saw a movie that you have credited me to liking, and you've talked about it a number of times. It's come up, and you said, "Oh, you love Iron Giant." You know, you are.
I've heard you
love
Iron Giant.
I've never seen it before, so I finally watched the Iron Giant,
and you loved it.
Watched the first 10 minutes with the girl, and I was embarrassed because I didn't really like the animation, and it wasn't really my kind of movie. And I'm like, you know what? We'll watch something else. Sorry, because she's tough. She's tough. Later that night, she went to bed. I always stay up about 3 or 4 hours after she goes to bed. I watched the rest of it. Holy shit, I loved it. I almost woke her up and pulled her out of bed and said, watch this.
That's Brad Bird, right?
Brad Bird.
Yeah.
Iron Giant. You see a lot of The Incredibles, which is one of my all-time favorites. You see a lot of The Incredibles in this movie. If you like Pixar movies, you like good stories. It's a story of a little boy. It's not a very believable story, but it's a story about a little boy who comes across a Iron Giant. I believe it's an original Japanese story. There's another movie made about it. But it's available instant right now. Harry Connick Jr. plays the voice of Dean. There's some really funny characters. Vin Diesel is the voice of the Iron Giant. Jennifer Aniston plays the kid's mom. Good movie. Christopher McDonald plays the voice of Kent Mansley.
Shooter McGavin.
Yeah. There's the FBI guy was very funny, who was like, you know, living with the kid for a while and trying to figure, because he knew the kid was lying. He knew there was an Iron Giant somewhere.
Right, sure.
Yeah, Harry Connick Jr. played Dean McCoppin, who was an old beatnik, a cool beatnik guy.
Someone just tweeted me, I need to see this movie, so I got to see it now.
You do. And get past the first 10, 15 minutes, because that's not the crisp, clean – you know, it's like – you know that animation that's like a step down from Disney?
Yes.
It's like a cheap imitation. It was like worse than that almost.
Oh.
But you adjust to it.
The story's good though.
The story's great.
All right. I'm with you. I'll keep this quick because I know Damashek's waiting in the other room. But
You're like starstruck with Damashek. It's kind of uncomfortable for me to be in here watching you like this. Rosy cheeks.
That's one of my radio heroes.
You got some rosy cheeks.
That's my broadcasting heroes.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad I don't have to hate him, so I'm happy he's here.
You're also one of my broadcasting heroes.
Ah, that's nice. Go.
Yeah.
Go,
see, now look, you're uncomfortable.
Oh, I'm always
uncomfortable. You can't take the
compliments. Welcome to being me. Constantly uncomfortable.
You should smoke.
Cloris Leachman's in this, too.
A movie that you recommended to me and I never saw for some reason was Gattaca. 1997. Yeah, written and directed by Andrew Niccol, his directing debut. Could have gone a top five directing debut, all-time best directing debut.
You know what else could have? Is Con Air, I realized it recently. Wes Anderson. Con Air. Not Wes Anderson. I'm sorry. Yeah, Anderson West. Or West. I don't know.
Anderson West.
I'll look up his name while you're talking about the great movie.
Yes, Gattaca. Written and directed by Andrew Niccol, who also wrote The Truman Show, did the story for The Terminal, which, by the way, was the best part of The Terminal. If someone was to tell you the story, you'd be like, oh, that's interesting. But The Terminal sucked. But he also wrote and directed the movie I put on my top five most anticipated for last summer, In Time, with Justin Timberlake.
Have you seen that?
Did not see it.
I was so anticipated. Why didn't you jump out of your seat?
I don't see those movies.
On the couch and go see it. Simon West is the name of the director.
There you go.
Con Air was his first movie. That should have been at least an honorable mention. Con Air.
Gattaca should have been on my list. In retrospect, Ethan Hawke, Uma Thurman, a young Jude Law.
Great story,
and,
right?
Alan
really
Arkin.
Good story.
Great story. It's
really
that,
well
it's
shot.
It's that perfect marriage of science fiction, which is really well done, and also a really good thriller, like kind of a whodunit murder mystery, and also a movie with ideas, like ideas about the future, ideas about sort of the nature of humanity. I don't want to get too heady because it's just a movie, but a good movie, a lot of thought put into it,
felt
make you think.
A little bit like if Spielberg made a movie and didn't care about the mentally challenged kids in the back row, he would make a movie like this, right?
Sure. I totally agree, whatever that means. Made only $12 million in the theaters against a $30 million budget, so was not entirely successful. However, a lot of great ideas. I recommend you track this one down. Gattaca, saw it on HBO, so I don't know if it's streaming or not, but we got a Best Art Direction nomination for the Oscars.
You know what I'm talking about. He wasn't patronizing.
Yes, I agree. He wasn't dumbing it down for the masses.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think the masses would find this movie all that interesting.
I think a lot of people would. I think a lot of people, especially people that go
think
see
about the wild
movies
West,
on a regular basis.
Think about the wild and wonderful whites of West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Think about them go to the movies.
I'm not thinking about those people. All right.
That's what I'm saying by the masses. Mm-hmm. There's like 11 of them. That's the masses. I think
you people are a lot smarter than Brian does, apparently.
Yeah. Speaking of sports, you seen Big Fan?
Gattaca.
Big Fan, Patton Oswalt.
Gattaca, one of the most depressing movies I've seen. Gattaca.
Yeah.
Yes. The Fan, very, very.
No, not The Fan. Big Fan.
Big Fan, very depressing.
Very depressing. Big Fan, 2009, written and directed
by... Not enough yucks.
No, not that funny.
No.
Some dark laughs.
I didn't think it was going to be funny, but I thought it was going to be a dark comedy because that's what it was billed at, and it was just kind of a sad, depressing, oh shit, this guy actually exists.
Yeah,
go ahead and tell
most of the laughs are very hollow.
Reminding me of Buffalo 66 without the humor.
As one who listened to a lot of Jim Rohn back in the day, I definitely could see that work. Oh, by the way, your boy Scott Farrell.
Yeah.
That was the talk show host.
Mm-hmm.
A prominent figure in the film. You never see him, but you hear his voice all throughout. And this sort of details the – no, I never listened to Pharrell all that much. I listened to a little bit and determined I hated him. Did he have the same type of callers as this? Like the people called in as like their personas and they went on long rants? Because this is very Rome-esque. This is very Jim Rome-esque.
I don't remember.
Come on.
I don't remember the movie.
No, do you Pharrell? I'm asking
yeah,
about
I know, but you're asking me. I don't remember that much about the movie. I remember seeing the movie and I don't remember – I barely even remember Scott being in it.
Really?
He's invited to my wedding. He's invited him at a wedding. Like you did not invite me.
Wow.
2 years.
Like you at my wedding.
Got a rare phone call from Brian. Usually we text back and forth a lot throughout the week, instant message like we've said. But just out of the blue, Brian calls me up. I'm like, hey, how are you, buddy? He's like, sorry I didn't invite you to my wedding.
No, I don't think I said that.
Sorry.
I said, I'm sorry if you feel bad.
And then he said, sorry, am I mad at you? Are you mad at me?
Are you mad at me?
I'm like, no, Steve.
Yeah.
Steve Glass.
I felt bad because I was listening to Miss Movies Minute with Anderson Cowan, and the subject came up of neither of
her most downloaded episode, apparently, she told me. So she wants to have me back. I'm like, I don't do podcasts.
The,
I'm not going back on that.
The idea that neither of you were invited to my wedding is a small wedding. Listen,
150 people, small.
120, first of all. Number two.
It was up in Napa, you know, where we were wine tasting. I would have hated it anyways.
My mom has five siblings. My dad has four. Do you know how many cousins I have that none of them got invited to the wedding?
Plus
my frat brothers.
God damn it. I'm going to be in here with two fratties.
It was Rich Eisen and me.
So did I hear you say that you and Damashek are in the same frat?
No, I don't think so. I never came up. I don't know if Damashek's even in a fraternity.
Okay, good. I thought you were saying that.
No, Rich Eisen. Eisen and I were in the same fraternity. Anyhow, big fan. Not for everyone. There's a great sort of...
Who is it for? Who would you say would like this? Because I don't
know. It's very indie. And I think if you're a sports talk radio fan, for sure see this. Because the people that you hear calling up and like doing their shtick on sports talk radio, this is the dark side of their lives.
I am going to say that, yes, it was very close to the Pharrell on the Bench, the Pharrell show that I worked on. And maybe it was a little too close to home. And I remember leaving that show when I was a screener on Pharrell's show almost 15 years ago now, feeling like I had to take a shower, like I just didn't believe in humanity anymore, just feeling nauseous. Like, his mom died, and he was crying about it on air, and I was screening calls that night, and somebody called up and put him on air because they lied about their question, and then they started talking about how his mom was going to rot in hell. Awful, horrible, horrible people live out there
did he
call
appreciate
radio
that?
Stations.
That's kind of funny.
He took it out on me, too. How would you put that fucking guy up on air? What's wrong with you, Harrison?
Anyhow, big fan. Maybe not for you, but maybe it is. Check it out if you are into sports talk radio. And very briefly, I tweeted about this, but I just I saw Back to the Future. I got sucked into it because it was on HBO. Got sucked in. Saw the first 10 minutes. Like, oh, I'll see what's going on. Watch the – no, don't do that. No music.
No,
saw the
first, wrap it up.
No. Saw the first 10 minutes. Ended up watching the whole thing. Uh-huh. And I thought to myself, God, how could I have thought that part two was better than part one? Part two, very quirky, yes. A lot of fun, sure. But nowhere near as good as part one.
Part
damn near
great.
Perfect film.
Part two is great.
And I put it on my top five time travel movies of all time. And I left off part one. And looking back, there's no comparison. Part one is close to a perfect sort of 80s comedy as it gets. I mean, it's 80s gets timeless. It's a perfect timeless comedy. That's it. That's all I have to say about Back to the Future.
That's all you have? You don't want to regale us with more information about Back to the Future, Brian?
When I have new insights on films, I like to share them.
Which is what? I was wrong in thinking the
second
one
more thing about one more thing about Shattered Glass.
You're kidding me.
Coming up next, the great, the elusive, Dave Damischek on the Film Vault.
The elusive.
Podcast listener, while you're sitting there listening to podcasts, check out AndersonandBrian.com.
Brian with the Y?
Yeah.
My favorite part of the show, Brian, other than seeing your lovely face every single week and working with Logan, is really interacting with the listeners. I love it. And a lot of great stuff goes on over at AndersonandBrian.com.
Yeah, leave comments on the site. Check out a list of every film mentioned in every episode, which, by the way, is quite a comprehensive list.
Yeah, we should have a ding every time we talk about a new
Absolutely
movie.
Absolutely
not. On the show. Yeah, I think we should.
Check it out, AndersonandBrian.com. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Hi, I'm James Vanderbeek. You're listening to Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com. Hi and hello, podcasters.
How dare you?
Yeah, the only sports guy who's worth a damn, Dave Damischek.
Ah, thanks,
What's
you.
What's happening, pal?
How are we, Bald? It's a pleasure to see you.
So
Baldy
good.
Brian.
Dave was the first guy to call me Bald Brian.
That's
someone
really?
Someone asked me
it's
the
true.
Other day. Someone interviewed me for a podcast. Like, how'd you get the nickname Bald Brian? I'm like, well, my name's Brian. And he's like, I'm sure I call him. I'm like, no, Adam used to call me Bri. Remember you for like a while?
Yes.
We got, hey there, Bri. I'm like, it's not that great of a nickname.
Stick.
And then Dave was just started calling me Bald Brian.
Remember what
Brian.
I called you before you actually were even working with Corolla? It's just back when you were just suckling on Loveline. You were just suckling as
well. Was it something to do with brown nosing or suckling? Or
cranium. I just called you cranium. I'm glad that didn't stick for you because I like Bald Brian a lot more.
Yeah.
Bald Brian. Yeah. Was the origin of it, in fact, the time we were in San Diego?
Oh!
What is this? You guys have to fill me in.
This is the first. Before, this is the first time in a long time.
I don't recall. He took over for Mike Lynch, who was the sound guy.
He almost never, but
unlike you, he almost never spoke on the show.
Right.
Then he went away
he
on his
place.
Honeymoon.
Probably better that way.
He knew his place.
Then he went on his honeymoon.
Right. So here's what I understand is the guy went away for like a week,
right.
And then Brian stepped
Two
in. 2 weeks. Brian stepped in. Lynch was supposed to come back to his job, right? And Corolla's like, no, this is now Brian's job. Brian didn't have any qualms.
It's got to be something. Somebody's got to do something. You know, look, there's a lesson to be learned for everybody out of this.
And then Brian continues to...
You want to take time away, you can take time away. But don't be surprised if someone comes along and does the job better than you if you don't get to fill your position again.
And Brian has
That's pretty much what was said.
No guilt, no shame.
I had a little bit of guilt, no shame.
And you still work side by side with this guy.
He's a good guy.
I used to see him over at Ace staring at you.
Staring at my back.
Yeah.
Making imaginary X's on the small of the back.
I think Lynch is doing all right for himself.
He's now
penning books along with Corolla. I'm sure he's happy with his life.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine how many spelling mistakes he has to correct if he's writing with Corolla?
That's imagining Corolla does any of the physical writing, which
it's
he does
true.
Not.
He just paces and talks.
Anyway,
paces
yes, talks. San Diego. That was
so,
the first in a long line of
I don't
big
remember
times.
If I started identifying you as Bald Brian prior to this, but we went on a road trip to San Diego to do a show or two down there. And we went out on the eve of the first show, I was riding high,
by the way, because my first live show as an on-air member.
Yes,
of
so
the
it was
staff.
Very exciting for Bald Brian, and he was you
the suckling has paid off.
You could see him. He was feeling it.
I was unremittent with glee.
We were a couple of belts in, you know, and he's talking to a couple of local girls
That's
there
right.
at the bar.
Dave, they were talking to me.
He was trying to make time. He's trying to make time. Like, yeah. Oh, you like those sound effects? Like,
oh my God.
You like that? Because I'm the one who gives them to you, baby.
The sad part is this does not surprise me at all. Go out.
So he's talking. Slide vessel? That's me.
He's making time with these two girls, and I lean over and say, hey, Bald Brian, tell him about the time when you lost your hair.
And verbatim. That's exactly what happened. And Bruska rushed to my defense. Our then producer, Jimmy Bruska, said, Dave, you don't do that. You don't do that to a man.
Dave, that's against the man code.
You don't do that to a man.
Then I didn't get a wink of sleep that night because, of course, I woke up. I was on no sleep because, of course, the night was spent in those paper-thin walls.
Yep.
Next to me was Bruska, and, of course, all he did all night was slap his meat.
Just spank
it. What?
Slapping his meat.
What?
Loudly.
Is he bald?
Obnoxiously.
Is he bald?
He was by the end of the night.
Brian.
Yeah.
That was a stretch.
Sorry. All right, listen.
Hey, welcome. I'm very happy you're here.
Thanks for coming, Dave.
I don't know if you know, but this guy's got you like on the list of people not to count on, and he said there was about a 65% chance you would show up, 35% that you want to show up.
Yeah.
I know. Much like me, you hold grudges. I hold grudges, apparently. So I'm very thrilled that you're here because I was worried that
you
weren't.
Why would I have a grudge with either one of you except for the bad mouth?
I was worried that you weren't going to show up, and then there'd be a grudge forever. And I'd be like, oh, that goddamn Dave. Damashek.
You know what's great? I am somebody, you're right. I do hold grudges.
Yeah, you're not very happy.
I remember.
You hold grudges and you don't show up. According to Brian, I don't know.
That's not true. I don't show up. And two, how dare you accuse me of letting you down or not being a good. Mm-hmm. Because as I just heard from someone else sitting across from me right now, you know what? You're not the only one who wasn't invited to Bald Brian's.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, so how did it
was
go?
Was Lynch invited?
Did you at least have
this
Anderson?
Is uncomfortable.
Did you have Anderson and Dave Damashek written down on the list? And
on
then you crossed us off?
On a list, not the A list.
But did our names were actually written down at one point, though.
Who did you invite from that show and didn't invite us? Who did get to go from the Corolla radio show?
Well, Corolla, of course. He was like fucking maid of honor.
Yeah,
right?
Not that many people. Hardly anyone. It was Tad, Jack Silver, Angie, Mike Dawson, Mike Dawson's dog.
Was Mike Dawson at this wedding?
No, Mike Dawson was not at the wedding.
Was Mike Lynch?
No. It was a small wedding.
Those people weren't invited.
He was invited. He didn't show up because he's still pissed at Brian for taking his job.
Was Teresa Strasser?
Teresa and Adam were there.
Why was Teresa invited?
Yeah, why
Teresa? And not Mike Lynch.
Because she's more famous?
Below the line.
That's exactly right. No, I feel—
That is why. That is exactly
why. That's totally
why. Because
Brian's a fame whore.
That's exactly right. I'm very concerned about being famous at my own wedding.
You are.
No, it was—
You were looking around saying, yeah, that's Adam Crow. That's him. He's at my wedding.
That's right. See that guy? He's sending me a gift. No, it was we'd spent so much time in the studio together, kibitzing, you're aware of this, over the course of whatever it was, 2006 to 2009, 2009 and a half, that I felt they were close friends at that point. And plus, Adam I'd known since Loveline. And Teresa, you know, it's spent almost
really
every day
know
with.
Him, though. You don't know one really knows Corolla.
That's true. In as much as anyone can know Corolla. Uh-huh. And Teresa I spent pretty much every day with, working day, from 2006 to 2009. So... consider them my friends. Still talk to Therese. Just talked to her on the phone like 2 days ago.
Terrific. Good for you. God bless.
I don't like how you're not uncomfortable. You're just like, yeah, that's the way it is. I don't like that. I don't like your confidence.
I struggled so much. Okay, not to
even
exaggerate.
He called me out of the blue, yes. Just a couple days ago.
I struggled so much over the guest list that I ended up at a place where I was very comfortable with every single person I invited and would have liked to invite him more, but felt comfortable with the decision I made.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Your invitation's in the mail.
Can I say something else? You were talking about movies. I would like to weigh in on one that you were just yapping about.
Mm-hmm.
Gattaca is a underseen gem of a picture. And you know why it's dynamite? This is one thing at least that makes it terrific, along with the moral issues, the ethics of what the future. And the future is now, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You can now affect babies
the
in
designer
the womb.
Children thing.
Yes. You can design children. And I think that within
obviously,
our lifetime.
Obviously before our time.
Yes, before our time.
Yeah, way before.
Obviously.
Well, I mean, they got the looks right. Yeah. You know, whoever designed Dave Damashek got that part
That's right.
Handsome devil. Now, the thing I love about Gattaca is, as opposed to almost every future picture, the wardrobe and the overall look is completely plausible.
It is.
They're not wearing jumpsuits.
In our
silver
lifetime,
LeMay jumpsuits.
In our lives, and back to, let's say, the 20s, and before that, I'm not exactly sure, but 20s on, it's been for guys, it's been a variation on a suit and a tie. Mm-hmm. That is how you go out into the world in a suit and a tie. Now,
Does it have three buttons? Is the tie skinny or fat? These are some issues that change decade to decade.
Yep.
But that's what these guys wear, and it's modified to look not exactly from any era. It looks familiar, but it's different.
Very good point. The wardrobe was not distractingly bad, because it seems like everyone takes a page out of like Twilight Zone future look for all the movies, especially in the 70s and 80s. The future was all about wardrobe, was all about robes with
uniformity.
With ties.
Everybody wears the same exact is that what's going to happen? We're just going to not care about how we look?
I don't know. Like, we're going back to the Afton era at one point, as far as they were concerned, with the future. We're all going to be looking like we're Caesar. Remember that? Like,
yeah.
All
well,
the Twilight Zone future.
You look at the three of us compared to, say, like the 1960s or whatever it was, and fashion's only gotten more casual. You know what I mean? People sort of dress more casually for whatever, growing out in the world. You know, you never see someone go out in the world back in the 50s with a T-shirt.
Or a hat. They always have to have a hat.
I've said it many times before. I'll say it again to you now. I wish I lived in a day where a suit and tie was a requirement
you
for a gentleman.
That.
I love it. And I would love to go to a ball game.
Well, then you should
I'd like
be
to go in shirt
here.
Sleeves and a black tie and a fedora, if you please, with a pack of nails in my chest pocket as I enjoy my local baseball team. I would love that.
I can't get down with that from a comfort standpoint, but I can get down with that from I don't have to make a whole lot of decisions about my wardrobe standpoint. You know, it's just the color of the suit at that point.
Yeah,
like gray or black.
That's right. I'd
maybe a pinstripe once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
But what I'm saying, Dave, is no one's stopping you. I mean, you can't smoke, obviously, which
it
blows.
Would be weird.
But go ahead, be that guy.
But
then
I
you stand out.
Then I'll be weird. If I start, imagine if we're having this conversation. Hey, Dave, what's the occasion? Why are you in a suit and tie?
This is who
no
I am.
Occasion.
Yeah. Paul F. Tompkins.
It would be weird.
Good friend of mine. He's actually going to be in my wedding. You might meet him there, Brian.
Am I invited?
Scott Farrell?
He wears a suit and tie everywhere he goes. No shoes. Four socks.
No shoes or socks.
Yeah. Weird dude.
That's weird.
Do you know Scott Farrell?
And he's invited over you. No, I've kibitzed with him online because we have a similar path. Farrell and Mark Cuban have
Pittsburgh tax.
Have something in common. Oh. Yes, all born and bred in Pittsburgh, all went to Indiana University, all massive, massive stars.
Yeah, huge. Yeah, exactly.
Giant.
Wow.
Big celebrities.
Let's talk. Actually, you know what? Before we start talking about movies, because this week's list is athletes turned actors or athletes in acting roles.
Yes.
And let's talk a little bit about Ace, because I met you once over at the Ace Networks. That's the last time I saw you, and the only time that I actually ever physically met you. And I know a lot of questions were asked back then as to what happened to Days of Thunder. We were blamed. We were kind of caught in the crossfire. The film vault is still on, but not Days of Thunder. And they thought that they had to make a choice, and they had made the powers that be over there made the wrong choice by keeping the film vault, which is completely untrue. I heard you were missing in action. I heard you just stopped showing up. And a lot of people, they want to know.
Oh, that's silly.
People are going to be listening.
Here's what I'll say. Well, first of all, Ace, you said, I thought we were going to have a conversation about the man, Adam Carolla. The greatest thing you can ever do. Well, you know what I think he really has not done, though, for all the stuff that he got, the left turn signal and the things that we've heard, what it's like to be in an airplane, so on. One of his great things is his story of how, I know that's another thing he loves to ask people. Tell me your story. Well, how'd you get to where you are? His story of how he got to where he is a fascinating one.
Yeah.
He sets himself. He basically turns the hourglass over and says, "When the dust or the sand runs out of this, and I turn 30, my dreams of show business are hereby done." In the meantime, he's swinging a hammer, all the stuff that you've always heard him talk about. But he happens to, serendipity puts him with Kimmel, who he didn't want to train for a K-Rock fighting promotional thing, some silly little event they were having.
Morning show.
And said, I got stuck with this Kimmel guy, the sports guy.
Yeah.
And he didn't like it, but then they hit it off. And really, within days, literally, he goes on and does Burcham before he turns 30 and then, of course, launches himself into his radio career and beyond. But anyway, so it's a great story.
Where did that come from?
But it's the whole Malcolm Gladwell thing.
Because I thought you were going to ask it, and we're talking about things.
No. I've heard that story because I worked on Love Life.
But it's really, it's a fascinating yarn.
But if you put yourself in that position, I mean, yes, he got lucky with meeting Kimmel, and that was very fortunate. But
what
if he hadn't
what happened
had
to Days of Thunder? That's what I was asking.
If he hadn't had the chops to do all the comedy, it would have been all for naught. Kimmel would have been like, what do you got? He's like, I'm not funny. So it would have been story over. But the fact is, he had worked so hard at whatever was Acme or Grounding.
That's
or
what happened with Days of Thunder. They're like, hey, so what kind of show are you going to do? I'll say, I'll show you. And I did. And they're like, oh, that's it? Well, please.
No, that's not what happened at all.
End of story.
Our studio, ASAP.
I thought you were going to say that's what happened with Dave Lynch. He had a few little while to try and do it.
David Lynch.
Yeah, not David Lynch.
Was David Lynch Mike Lynch's
Lynch.
Father?
That's exactly.
I didn't realize. Didn't I had no idea.
How about that?
It's the second week in a row that I fucked up.
Here's what happened. As I recall, it really was. I this is now a little more than a year ago, and I was. I could tell this tale repeatedly, and because I was arguing about it with one Mr. The Wheeze, who was the kingpin or whatever he
You're
was.
You're out of your element, Donnie.
He was the executive producer over there. I guess that's what he was, right?
He was the boss.
He was executive producer.
He told us he wanted. You know, we said we want to do as many shows as possible.
He would scream, "I am the law!" is what he would do, basically.
So we wanted to do the show. As it happened, I was working at the Kimmel Show.
Right.
Last autumn, this was. I was working at the Kimmel Show. Then I also got staffed on Norm Macdonald's sports show pilot, and then I was also working at the NFL. I just started at the NFL. Literally three jobs, wall-to-wall work. Feeney was working on his own pages as well as a pilot.
Dave Feeney was the other host at Anderson.
Yes, David Feeney, very funny.
Not David
guy.
Lynch, okay.
But David Feeney, the straw that stirred the drink at Dave's of Thunder, very funny with everything he would come up with. And, you know, a hired gun that Hollywood is after, you know. So obviously people are using his services. I was busy. And in spite of that, we were doing everything we could to still make the show happen. And then we would find out, well, you can't do it on Saturday because of the car cast. And your window is this 45-minute period on Saturday morning, or you could try. So we were really, with our producer, Jacuzzi Pete, we were doing anything we could. Literally a stone's throw from here in Culver City, I remember Jacuzzi Pete picked us up in a minivan one day, and on our respective lunch hours, we drove around and recorded a podcast. We were doing anything we could to make our noise.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
Your finest hour.
The minivan.
The minivan episode, my favorite episode.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we like to take
I heard
it
every episode of Dave's of Thunder. That's not an exaggeration.
That's very nice.
One.
Thank you.
I
yeah.
miss Singleton and Doubleton and Blaster Girl and all of them.
I legitimately think that, and with all due respect, and I hope it doesn't offend anybody, but, you know, about any of the other stuff I've done, but Dave's of Thunder, certainly the funniest thing I've ever done, I think. And not because of me, because of David
Feeney. Oh, I can say that easily, yeah.
David Feeney was
well, far and away.
Yeah, he was exceptional. He was really very funny.
Your passion project.
It was great, yes. Yeah, we toyed with that being the name of the show, in fact, the Dave Damashek Passion Project. But
you know, Brian wanted to call this show Perfection at one point. Really
I did because I think it sets you up so much against the listeners or audience's expectations. You're like, oh, this is the such and such project, or this is the such and such experiment. It's like, fuck it, we are the Film Vault Perfection. We can't. It's not getting any better than this. Ready for perfection, folks.
I said, no.
I like that. So
just as a term.
Then the Wheeze, as all this that we're trying to get. The Wheeze, we're doing our best to get these shows out, and we always the premise for us was always. We don't care if we get paid at all. We're not looking for money out of this. What would be great is if money is – well, you know, it was for
Maybe
fun.
A
it
bonus.
Really,
Maybe a
it
bonus.
Really was for pleasure. And we said, you know, listen, if there's $100 and we could go out for sushi once a week, that would justify the time away from our families and everything. But fine. But we're not asking for any money. At the same time, then the Wii started it. You got to sign your contract. You got to sign your contract. And we said, what the –
remember
this contract. And the guy who did the sports show, Kevin Hench, had his lawyer actually look at this contract and said it's just hooey and applesauce. He said it's just ludicrous what's in there. So Dave, we said, we don't care about money anyway, so who cares?
My lawyer looked at it and he says it's not about money. I know that, Anderson. You guys are just doing it because you do it. But if you sign this, not only is it not about money for you, you're not allowed to talk on Loveline anymore. Like, they could sue you if you even talk on Loveline or anyone else. You do not want to sign this contract. He was yelling at me. He's like, do not sign that thing.
Well, it was a serious thing. Yeah. So we, you know.
And then we went back to him and told him, they're like, hey, it's just a jumping off point. I was like, oh, well, then.
Yeah, that's what he said. Well, we can talk this through. We can talk that. So he said,
lawyer looks at contracts for a living. He said it's the most one-sided contract he had ever seen in all of his years.
Well,
so
you better sign this contract, so on and so forth.
Oh, I forgot about
and,
that.
And so eventually he said, you know, we're going to, you know, and then I remember getting an email from him saying, this very overly pleasant sort of tone to the, you know, very corporate-y kind of, you know, it's been a pleasure. We appreciate your contributions to the Adam Carolla Network over the, you know, it's like, what? Who?
Huh?
I know you, Louise, and I know Ace, and
really?
What is this about? And he said, you know, and as of tomorrow morning, we will be posting on the website that we're no longer – producing your show or something to that effect.
Really?
And
that's
I wrote a very different story than I heard. So I wrote him back and said, listen, Louise, if you just blindly pull the show without any explanation, anything, any sign that this might happen, trust me, our audience is not what Corolla's is by a long shot, but these people are into it. I'm telling you, these people are into it.
You have a very passionate
audience. They will react very badly if the show just disappears.
It's not, not even so much about you. It's you want to treat the fanship fairly.
Well, I don't – what I – honestly, yes, absolutely. That's the first thing. And number two is practically imagine – how I would be flooded. I make myself accessible on email and Twitter and Facebook and everything.
Right.
I'd be flooded. What happened? How could you go away? Yep. I'm not going to take that bullet. I said, Weez, if you're going to just pull the show without explanation, I have no choice but then to provide your phone number and your email address so you can respond to all the complaints because I don't want to have to deal with them. And then he reacted badly to that, and it became that I had it almost was as though I had done it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so then that was that. And I said, Louise, so then, so we settled it down a little bit. I said, Louise, you got to let us do 3 or 4 more shows to wrap it up, put a natural end point on the show, and then we'll be done and we can explain why we're leaving. The morning of the show, I said, all right, we're heading over to do it. He said, we got to move on. We got to move on from this. We got to get out of this. And
meaning what?
And I said, all right, well, but we're doing another few weeks. He said, no, today's the last show. And I said, the last show? He said, we talked about 3 or 4 more shows. And he said, no, today's the last show. So we went in there. We recorded our last show. And that was it. And then people went predictably crazy.
People thought it was a bit. People didn't believe it. They didn't believe that you guys were actually doing
that. Well, people, I started getting the emails, what happened, this and that. I never threw anybody under the bus. I just said, wasn't our decision.
It doesn't sound like you know the full story. I don't think anyone will ever know the full story. But it's a nice little behind the curtain of what actually happens and how these things go down.
Yeah.
And what I heard, what I was told to my face, I won't name the source, but I heard that you were next to impossible to get a hold of, and you hadn't showed up in 3 weeks to do a show, and it was just too erratic, and they just couldn't continue to put their weight behind a show that was not
true.
Producing.
Why can't it all be true? Here's the part that's true. About that. Yes, we were doing our best to do shows. We were in a tough patch of knocking them out. We were doing shows literally in a car to fulfill the weekly hit and so on. But then when it got to be that we couldn't use the mobile microphone, we don't have those this week. Somebody is using them for the car cast or whatever. Does. We couldn't use them for anything. So we literally were incapable of recording shows. But the thing that is true is I did not respond to the Weez very often because it was ridiculous. It was the same thing. When are you going to sign this contract? We really got to meet about it. What am I going to say? I have no update for you. We're never signing that dumb contract. That's the end of that.
That's kind of what happened.
But I heard
very
that
similar.
All I've heard about is that I'm incorrigible, that I'm petulant, that I'm
show up.
I got in a screaming match with the Weez, or I screamed in his face, or threatened him.
None of it true.
That's your normal manner of speaking.
Yes, I'm somebody who enjoys physical confrontation, or even verbal ones.
Yeah. I just like to reiterate. I know that you're the same way, and Brian and I are the same way. We have no misgivings or hard feelings about. The Ace Network. We thank the Ace Network for our existing audience. We would not have this audience if it was not for that. The last final straw for us, I don't know if you know this, Dave, but they fired our producer for reasons that we're legally not even allowed to talk about. But that was kind of the last straw with us. We're like, you fired our producer, not going to replace our producer. Logan, if they replaced you, we would still be over there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
But they said they weren't going to replace you. So we said, fuck it. We'll just go somewhere else.
Yeah, it's a simple matter. I don't think there's a lot of mystery that, the Weez, while a stony sort of pleasant presence to sit around if there's a bad movie on TV and be the fourth wheel and throw in a line or two as you go along. It's fine. He was out of his depth. That's all. He was not up to the task as this thing became emerged as a colossus. He just wasn't up to running a relatively profitable, a potentially profitable business.
Neither was Logan. That's why he was fired. Yeah. Okay.
Footnote to that story, Dave. I always admired, a number of things about your show. But the fan interaction was one of the best things you had going for it. Your fans were so passionate.
They were awesome.
And
they sent the songs
and so much great stuff.
We did not solicit that. They were amazing.
We have very passionate fans. We have good fans. I try to interact with them and have them be parts of the show, but Brian's always very against it, which is uncomfortable for me.
That's completely false. We're a feature artist every week.
Oh, that's true. But Like with our sniff tracks, like with the human centipede. I wanted more people on the phone being a part of this.
Why don't you bring some fans? We would bring fans in periodically.
Oh, I don't want to see them.
I
don't want
to
see them.
We went to the farmer's market.
The scary tattooed guy. Tattooed Peter, whatever his name was. Tattooed Terry. Whatever his name was. But the song, we have people sending us artwork, which is fantastic. But I can never
artwork they do while on LSD.
What?
Artwork that they do while on LSD.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
You know what we should do?
The art school students.
Brian, we should buy tickets. You know you can buy them online and you can pick your seats?
Mm-hmm.
We should do that publicly, like a couple weeks in advance and let the listeners know. And then they could buy seats around us, but we won't know till after the movie.
Wow.
And then we talk to them after the movie.
That's a fun idea.
Let's do that.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go?
How about your whore?
Oh, my God.
No, your landmark right by your house. Okay, we'll talk about that off air.
Do it this weekend for the new Dolly Parton Queen Latifah.
That looks so fucking good.
I am
so pumped.
I'm excited for that too because,
you know. You guys fucking with me?
Yeah. No, it looks really good because I saw them on I was watching them on the Today Show this morning and I was like, what? Queen Latifah and Dolly Parton? But wait a second. They have nothing in common. And you know what? By the end of it, when I saw a couple clips of them,
crazy enough to work.
With a little bit of luck and a whole lot of love, I think these two
are
going to have a lot of fun together. And I want to be
sucked into daytime television. It's so well produced that yes, you believed it.
The audience is involved. They're invested.
All right, are we going to do this? Are we
let's talk
this
some movies.
Yeah, I got a list. I made my list for you.
What? I would have lost money on that one.
The bald Brian says, hey, you ever want to be on the podcast? I say, sure, I'll be on the podcast. And then he starts sending me homework assignments immediately.
Yeah, that's kind of what the show is.
All right, I made my list.
Guess who was invited to be on this podcast with you, by the way?
Who?
David Feeney.
Is that right?
Guess who said no?
You contacted him and he said no.
He said, I'm too busy. I was big timed by David Feeney again. Oh, so many times invited you to on the podcast only to say no from one or both. Oh, David.
That's his way.
That's his way.
He's enigmatic. He's engaged now, though.
Really? I heard about that to his lovely Jennifer.
That's right. Any Dave's Thunder people who were fond of hearing his pursuit, his ongoing pursuit of Blaster Girl. Is, you know, now his heart now will forever belong to another.
It's falling short.
She'll have to just be a mistress. Blaster Girl. Just have
God
to be
willing.
A mistress.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Acting performances by athletes. Turns out.
I'm engaged. I'm here.
So many.
Yeah. You have two kids now, right?
That's right. That's four awesome. And a half. Yeah. Baby Oprah. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That's fantastic. Yep. Congratulations.
Baby Thank Oprah. You.
Well, because
it's the radio names, Anderson.
It was the, it was sort of like Champ and Boss Bailey, you know, the two football playing brothers. Mm-hmm. Their parents named them that, and they lived up to it. And I like the idea of rolling the dice in that way. Now, you know, if they turned out to be janitors, then it would be sadly ironic. But they went
hey,
to
Champ,
the NFL.
Your brother Boss missed that piece of toilet paper.
Kind of like girls that with guys' names are always hot. So I was going to name my daughter Bob, and then I realized I don't want to have a hot daughter, though.
Glenn. Seth.
Hey, Gary. Get over here.
But yeah, so by that we figured, you know, Oprah can't do better as a woman than what Oprah's done.
Oh, money wise, I mean, looks wise and annoyance level wise, you can do much better.
Influence.
I would think. Oprah. Okay, let's go.
Oprah would have a legitimate chance of winning the presidency if she ran. I think
100%,
that is a sad fucking true statement. Let's move on.
Top five acting performances by athletes. Turns out there's a few.
A lot of them.
Yeah. We will count down our top five. You want to start, Anderson?
Why not? I'm going to throw out the most obvious one, which I got to stand by it, and it's absolutely one that pops into your mind immediately, and that's Mr. Carl Weathers.
No.
Yep. Raider. Yep. Yeah. He was on the Raiders.
He was.
And he's probably best known as playing Apollo Creed. I know it's not a movie, but I love him in Arrested Development, playing himself, but he's very frugal. He's always telling you how to save a buck
here. This is not TV Vault.
Not TV Vault, but we're talking about actors. That and he does come from movies with both Rocky 1, 2, and 3. And I'm going with Carl Weathers.
And he was also on the other end of, for my money, Schwarzenegger's single greatest line ever in Predator when he says, "What's the matter, Dylan? The CIA has you pushing too many pencils." It's the greatest.
We
yeah,
just talked
Creed.
About that the other day.
Yeah,
that's
it's
absolutely
wonderful.
Right.
Happy Gilmore, he played Chubbs, loses his hand. Eight Crazy Nights.
So you're not singling out one performance.
No, I'm going with pretty much was an athlete.
He's fashioned quite a career out of acting.
Yeah, still does.
Much more successful as an actor than he was as a football player.
A lot of TV lately, too. Cubed, ER, Brothers.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it because this is a pretty deep list. Is the combined, it's sort of like being Deion Sanders or Bo Jackson, combined skill in sport and on silver
like points.
Screen.
If you there's a point system, you get like Deion would be like 5 out of 5 probably for the athletic ability.
Right.
I haven't really seen
like
him in
Hank
anything
Aaron.
Other than
Hank Aaron's brother was in the big leagues and I think hit like one home run
right.
or something like that, but they have the
combined home runs.
They have the combined brother total. So, yeah, something like that. That would be lame. You don't want that. You want as close to a 50-50 thing as possible. Like, I'm sure we're going to get to his name. I don't want to tip any hand here, but I have somebody on my brain who would – well, two candidates now who would satisfy that.
You may have some crossover on the list. That may happen.
Gigi Sparrow's Dolly Parton's name in Joyful Noise.
Thank Joyful you. Noise.
Thank you for that.
Gigi Sparrow.
Gigi
Sparrow.
Gigi yeah. like G&G or like G-I-G-I?
G period G period. Oh. Much like Gigi Allen. Right. But much different.
Hey, I bet Latifah calls her girl at some point in the movie.
That would make her G.
What's the over-under on girls in the movie?
Let's go see it.
Girlfriend.
We'd be silly not to.
Let's go see it. We'd be silly not to.
Do your little movie thing.
We should
That's
do
a
that.
Fun outing.
We absolutely should do that.
That's the kind of picture you want to be in.
Number five for me. I don't know how much you consider wrestlers to be athletes.
Oh, absolutely.
I think they're athletes. But they're also part performer, which maybe will lend them why there have been wrestlers successfully crossed over into movies. But for my money, a movie you don't like that much, Anderson, and I beseech you to start loving it, The Princess Bride. Andre the Giant.
Oh, I can't wait to go see it again. Yeah.
As Fezzik the Giant in The Princess Bride, 1987, directed, of course, by your friend, Rob Reiner.
Why did they call him Andre the Giant? That was always strange to me.
Well, he was born Andre René Roussimoff.
And also, he was quite large.
That's true.
He was enormous.
That never occurred to me.
Anybody won the Stop rhyming. I mean it.
Anybody want a peanut?
Yes. He was down 119 beers in 6 hours.
Wallace Shawn. Yeah. He's gone. Apparently,
no,
he's
not Wallace
quite
Shawn.
A
Andre the Giant.
Well, I was giving you the front
sorry,
end
sorry.
Of that line
to, that.
At the
yeah,
back end. Like, that. Stop rhyming. I mean it.
Yeah. I just had a conversation with Larry Miller about Wallace Shawn because the whole inconceivable thing. And he's like, oh, I know Wally really well. And he's just so tickled that people even remember that line. And every day he has someone come up to him and just walk up to him and go, inconceivable.
That's got
to
get boring.
But he's an affable guy.
He seems affable.
Yeah, seems affable.
Seems affable. I can see him drinking himself.
Everybody knows
stupor.
Him from that. Everybody knows him from My Dinner with Andre. But the other thing that he's in that I'd forgotten
he
was in.
The Cosby Show.
Well, of course, he was in Cosby in the later years when that show completely went off the rails.
Sure.
When they just started bringing in Bill Cosby and Felicia Rashad, celebrity friends, with the thinnest of reasons.
Yeah.
And they would just suddenly, it turns out he's an opera
singer.
Another
neighbor.
Yeah. But
live on a very large block.
Wallace Shawn also, though, Manhattan. He plays Diane Keaton's ex-husband, and it's great. And Woody Allen is devastated when he meets him. This is the Lothario you always talk about that you compare every man to? I think he's very attractive. Yeah, it's great. So, anyway.
We just talked about Midnight in Paris last week. I just seen it. You seen it yet?
No, I started it and have not completed it yet.
A fine film.
What's it called?
The old DVD?
The DVD that they send out.
Was the screener.
Screeners.
Yes. Was Andre still alive when the whole Bay – thing
no,
happened with the street
died.
Art. Did he ever get to see the level of his fame?
He died in I would argue he was more famous in 1989 than he is now. I mean, yes,
well,
he's on the Bay
thing. But
he
his
died
face
in 1993.
Is like everywhere.
Heart failure, congestive heart failure. Mm-hmm. Age 46.
Mm-hmm. Got to be a big heart.
He was WWF champion and a WWF tag team champion.
I'll never forget. Like most Americans, nay, most human beings, I won't ever forget the Piper's Pit in which he inexplicably just turned bad.
Yeah.
He just went against the Hulkster.
He gave in to his dark side.
The Hulkster was riding high. He had just been presented a trophy by Rowdy Roddy Piper, and the Giant didn't like it. Andre the Giant felt like he had been
– slighted.
A little bit. I think he felt a little Robin to the Hulkster's to Batman, and he ripped the crucifix off of the Hulkster's neck and made him bleed. You know,
when he was the bad guy, he was one of the best bad guys of the era.
Yeah.
And when Hulkster slammed him, spoiler alert, in WrestleMania 4, when he slammed
three.
Him in WrestleMania 3, yes, in the Silverdome.
In the Silverdome, I went to the Civic Arena in Pittsburgh.
Really? Oh, simulcast.
Watched it on closed caption.
Ah.
Kids, back in the day, they used to have these
closed circuit.
They would do the closed circuit showings, and you would have to go to your local arena
and cheer along with a Jumbotron.
And they would just basically put it on a movie screen, right?
That's awesome.
And this is even pre-Jumbotron. They didn't even have that. They would just put it on a big
So you watch like a movie version of it
basically,
at the Igloo?
And the place was sold. The place the place had 17,000 people.
Must have printed money back then. Can you imagine that?
It was wonderful. It was the great. That's the greatest WWE event ever. The greatest bout in WWE history.
WrestleMania 3. Steamboat.
Is this a good time for me to go get a coffee?
Very Macho good. Man Randy Savage.
Dragon versus. That's
right. That was a fantastic. There were how many kickouts were there? How many two count kickouts?
That was unbelievable.
Dozens.
And then of course Uncle Elmer set the record for the fastest match in WWE history.
Uncle
four
Elmer.
Seconds.
4 seconds. That's right.
Hillbilly.
That
Jim.
Was 4.2. To be fair, 4.2.
You knew he was a hillbilly because he wore overalls.
Overalls. That's right.
And nothing else. Dave, your number five acting performance.
Well, I didn't really put them like one through five. Let me just give
them. Generally, the one you feel the weakest about.
I want to go. These are more, to be honest, maybe I didn't abide by. I didn't necessarily best, but favorite.
Sure.
Hey, Dave, you're ahead of the curve. When who was it that came in here and wrote? Petros Papadakis came in here. He wrote it down on his arm as he was sitting with
him. In a Sharpie.
Just off the top of his head, wrote it down on his arm. So you're ahead of the curve. You're doing good.
I will go then with John Matuszak in Caveman.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. I just love this movie.
Honda.
Ringo Starr.
Ringo.
Yes. I love this movie.
Atuk! Barbara Bach, Ringo Starr's real life wife. Yeah.
They were not married at the time. They got married later, right?
They were together, though, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. And also Shelley Long is Atuk's Ringo Starr's love interest.
Duh.
Dennis Quaid.
At the critic screenings of this movie, they give out sheets of paper with a glossary on there for like the grunts and the oogs and all of that stuff. They give a glossary so the critics can follow along.
Like
what
a Clockwork Orange. That is awesome.
I'm sure it's exactly like that.
I think Clockwork Orange has a glossary.
What's the new picture out right now, the silent movie?
The Artist.
The Artist is, you know, all this Oscar buzz. Mm. Same thing as Caveman. Not a word of English spoken in Caveman.
And a lot of Oscar buzz at the time.
Yeah. Well, I think sadly, like it was not, it did not get the shine, the light was not shown on its greatness.
This was many other genius works, you know, it won't be recognized till years later.
You're right, decades ahead of its time.
Yeah. He was a Raider, right?
Matuszak, yes.
Yeah. John Matuszak. Two Raiders already mentioned.
Wow.
Look at that.
That's pretty good.
Raider Nation.
That's an interesting list, too. What sports franchise has put the most people in movies? Yeah.
Did Alex Karras play for the Raiders at any point?
No. He was a Lion the whole time.
The whole time? Oh, I didn't realize that.
I believe so.
I love Caveman. It was a childhood movie. I watched it, I don't know, probably 30, 40 times.
Fred Dreyer was a Ran the whole time?
Yeah. Okay.
What'd you
think so.
What was that?
Fred Dreyer.
Fred Dreyer. Trying to think of famous football players who may have played for the Raiders. Lyle Alzado.
But was
Golic.
He an actor?
Well, yeah, he was in some things.
Bob Golic was, of course, in Saved by the Bell, the college.
He was a Raider.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, there you go.
In the later part of his career.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad we got back on track with that one.
All right. Are we moving on to
number four, buddy.
All right. You guys like Junkyard Dog? That was the only wrestler.
Yeah.
Used to,
not as good as Coco Beware. When we're talking African American.
They had some great
wrestlers.
Racist. The one guy, who was the guy who did the ghetto blaster? That was his move. He had the ghetto blaster. He would kick you in the head.
Might be JYD.
Bad News Brown. No, was that who it was?
JYD has also left us, I believe.
Really? He used to have a chain around his neck, right? The JYD?
JYD had a chain. That seems inappropriate now.
As though he was escaped.
A little bit.
He's an animal who was chained up in a
junkyard. Dog had the chain, yeah.
Yeah, JYD.
Like he was, but yeah.
It's Coco Beware had a parrot.
That's right.
That was an innocent child.
The most humiliating thing in wrestling history, of course, is Jake the Snake Roberts, who would not just defeat you, but he would humiliate you by dumping his snake out on you.
That's right. What about
it? He had a canvas sack, and he would dump a snake on you.
The snake had a girl's name, too. Whatever it was, he would dump the snake up on your after giving you the DDT.
Yep.
And but how about Virgil, the manservant, the $1 million man?
You know,
that's racist. He had a manservant.
Because I was trying to buy myself
a slave.
I was trying to buy myself 10 seconds.
You walked around with
10 seconds to pull up my number four. I didn't.
That's what you get, buddy.
A 90-second diatribe. And I was an innocent child when I saw that, and I just thought, you know what, he's supposed to be a junkyard dog, not like he was escaping from his white owner, and that's why he had the
his legs
chain.
Were shackled together.
My number four is a. I talked about him recently on this show, Brian. His first day on set, he had just gotten out of jail that day for spousal abuse or some kind of abuse, some kind of domestic violence. He's known as a soccer player mainly.
Oh!
But now he's known as an actor. He played Big Chris in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. I'm talking about Vinnie Jones.
This is my number four also.
Love Vinnie Jones. Look at that little crossover.
How about that? Boom.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, he's great.
Vinnie Jones, the heavy from Snatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fourth bullet tooth Tony.
Can you imagine how intimidating he must have been on the field, like with cleats, playing a little football, a little European football? He is fucking perfect in those movies. Snatch was where I really fell in love with him, but Big Chris was where everyone first saw him. Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels. That's
here,
number four.
On the United States in hockey, we call them enforcers, I guess. You would tell me if I'm wrong.
He
but
would be
over
a perfect
there,
enforcer.
He was a hard man. No, that's what he was. He was a quote. They called him hard man over there, like the enforcer and the European pitch. And he was banned for 6 months, and he was fined £20,000 for hosting a video about like soccer's toughest hard men, like about like the guys that were the enforcers and like their hardest hits, and like you're bringing the game into disrepute. We're banning you for 6 months. Can you imagine that if someone
hard
got banned
man.
for six if like an enforcer made
I
a
like
video
the name
about
of
enforcer
that. Yeah, that's weird man.
It's a very professional league over there, Brian. The Europeans, Brits are very professional. He was also in – he played Marco in Swordfish. He played the Extractor in Tooth, Mad Maynard in Eurotrip. And he's in a ton of things.
You know for sure. If you don't know the name, you definitely know the face. He's the guy, the great scene in Snatch where the two guys stick a gun in his face and he calls him out for having a replica gun. And he's like, I got a real gun. Now get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
It's a great scene.
Badass.
Yeah. Number four for both of us, Vinny Jones. That's what a coincidence.
Oh, that's your number four.
Yeah,
that's
my number four. That's why.
All right,
I
well, now I feel
him.
Obliged. I have several names written down here, but I'm going to go with, to keep the soccer theme going, Pelé.
Oh.
Pelé and Victor.
Oh, and Victor. Wasn't Stallone the goalkeeper?
He's the goalie. It's a wonderful picture. Are you familiar with Victory?
Is this the one where he breaks his arms? They break somebody's arm?
They break the real goalie's arm.
Yeah, so that he can play.
Stallone, because he has the escape plan hatched. And his name is Hatch, as a matter of fact, Stallone in the picture. It's Michael Caine, Pele.
Is it World War II?
It's WW2. They're in a Nazi prison camp.
POW camp.
And they cook up an escape plan. And there are two guys who are just obsessed with escaping that run things out of their little bunk room. Anyway, they go and play the Nazis in soccer. In Berlin, I believe.
It gets old, Anderson.
They fall down 4-0, as they call it in soccer. They get down 4-0.
4-0.
Now, what Stallone / Hatch has cooked up is this escape route whereby at halftime of the game, the whirlpool, they've tunneled his French his French pals.
Try not to give too much away.
Yeah, I've not seen this entire movie.
Oh, my
I'm familiar
goodness.
With it.
I'm surprised. It's really dandy. But the rest of the team, they score a goal right before
the
half. So it's 4-1 actually at the half. And Michael Caine and company are like, come on, Hatch, we can win this thing. And Michael, come on, Hatch. And Pele gives a heartfelt, come on, Hatch. And that's his line. And also, when he gets picked for the team, Pele, he's just sitting there. He's one of the prisoners, and he gets picked for this Allied prisoner team. And he picks up an orange and he starts kicking it.
Like, well, I play a little soccer in my day.
When I was a boy in Brazil, I used to do this with the oranges. So it was something like that. Anyway, it's terrific. It's a wonderful picture.
I
don't want to give away the end, but it's
wonderful. I remember watching that when I was a kid.
If it's called Victory, I'm guessing something good happened. Spoiler alert.
HBO, and I remember the arm break. And I've seen it like a few times, but never in my adulthood. So I just added it to the queue. Also, I should mention that Dave's number five pick, Caveman, available on instant stream on Netflix. So you can watch that immediately. You can turn this off right now and begin watching Ringo Starr play Caveman.
But come back to this.
Still, when I cook, whenever I fry more than two eggs at once, I think of the giant pterodactyl egg that they cooked.
It is amazing you said that, because when we were talking about that picture, that is what comes to mind always. Is
the
there's
giant
a giant
flaps.
Pterodactyl that falls into a crater and it cooks because it's hot.
Nice.
Good stuff.
Dave, how's the podcast going?
Love that movie.
My
I've heard
podcast?
A couple episodes. Yeah, the Dave Damashek football program. No, Dave Damashek football program, available on iTunes from NFL Network.
Thank you. It's going well. It's the numbers keep going up on it. I guess it's doing really well.
Are you going to keep it going year-round?
Oh,
in the offseason?
Oh, yeah. As
that?
A matter of fact.
Actually, your best time is in the offseason. You can talk about anything but football.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly
people,
right.
It is a question.
Summer
that
movie season.
They do at the NFL, of course. Their brain is on football. And so they say, what are we going to do? A fantasy show is like, what are we going to talk about in the offseason? Dave, do you want to keep doing it? And I said,
you're licking your chops.
I want to do five a week when I get. But it's going very well. Thank you for asking. And in fact, NFL.com live, and you can follow on Twitter, NFL.com live. I'm going to be in Indianapolis. I'm doing three-hour shows for Media Row.
Jesus.
Day of, and it'll be streaming video and all that stuff.
All
with,
in one day.
Adam Rank, who I host the show with and do the football show with.
How's Siciliano?
He's good. He replaced me, of course, on ESPN radio.
He's the guy on NFL Network, right?
Yeah, now he's over there. Yeah,
okay.
Now he's over there.
You guys are closer.
I know him a little bit. He seems like a swell fella. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be looking forward to doing that with Rank. And we keep having Steve Smith of the Panthers on. He enjoys
he's
doing
a character.
He likes doing the show so much. He asked his publicist, hey, can I just keep calling into that show every week? And so we have him on. It's great fun.
I'm surprised the publicist said yes. They always say no. Those fucks. Hey, are you doing three-hour shows in one day?
No, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of Super Bowl week. I'll be out there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Well, considering this goes up the week before the Super Bowl, that is this coming Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Oh, is that right?
This is going up a week from tomorrow. So tune into that.
All fair conversation.
Be on the lookout.
You might not like it, Dave, but I know that Donnie's still looking for work, and you might want to think about hiring him over there to be executive producer of your program.
Done and done. Yeah. Hatchet right, buried.
Coming up next, the conclusion to our top five list, top five acting performances by an athlete.
Hey, Brian.
Anderson.
I hear that Logan bought his feeble old grandparents a Roku. Who'd you buy it for?
I bought my mom and dad a Roku for Christmas.
See that? Everyone's supporting the film vault.
Were they able to figure it out? Were you able to figure it out?
Well, I had to set it up for them, but I was amazed that it really is the size of a hockey puck.
And it's a pretty quick setup, right?
Really easy setup. It's always on. You don't have to turn it off and uses very little energy.
That's awesome.
So you're like, hey, Roku, this is my Netflix. This is my Amazon. It can do all sorts of different things, right?
It's got more than just Amazon and Netflix. It's also got a channel called Crackle. There's tons of...
Oh, Crackle's on there?
Yeah, there's
Crackle's
tons of free movie channels. Like, just... A lot of them aren't as great as Netflix, but... There's some great channels.
More options. And you just kind of introduce it to the different pathways and passages, right?
Yeah, you can keep adding channels. There's different things you can check out. Lots of different cool...
Did your parents find it easy to use?
They do. As soon as I got it set up for them...
That's the key, really, right?
As soon as I got it set up for them, they're going on Netflix on their own, and it's making video streaming really accessible.
Have they gotten through my top five most disturbing movies yet?
Oh.
They were going to watch Irreversible, but I kind of swayed them away from it.
They haven't gotten through the top one.
No. Not at all.
All right. Serious question, though. It's the middle of this Roku ad. Do they listen to the show?
They do not.
Smart.
Thank God.
Support the show. Check out AndersonandBrian.com. There's links to Roku. And if you want to get one, if you want to optimize your streaming services, Netflix and all that stuff, get yourself a Roku and help support the show. AndersonandBrian.com. Yeah, welcome back. A belated thank you to Aurora. Aurora is our feature artist this week. It's a tough website. Yeah, go to AndersonandBrian.com and you can get a link to Aurora from, ironically, not from Aurora, Illinois, from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I know bands don't like to ever be compared to other bands, and hopefully they're not listening to this, but it's a total compliment when I say that these guys sound a lot to me like early Nirvana, like Bleach.
Yes. I thought that's what it was.
It's good shit.
This is Aurora, and thank you for being our feature artist of the week. Check him out, AndersonandBrian.com. Check out Dave, our guest this week. NFL.com/live, is that where they can find you? NFL.com, that's where you'll be doing your coverage.
NFL.com, if you look for the podcast on iTunes, just my last name. Yeah. I do the Shame Report every week.
At
I got a
Damashek
new animated thing up there. NFL at Damashek, yes. It's all there.
It was tough to watch you tweet after the Steelers lost last weekend.
It was hard to send those tweets out.
I can imagine.
I was really hoping the Steelers would win, namely just because I wanted to say in Twitter form, looks like Jesus took the Steelers. And I was going to say Steelers.
I've been talking to a couple things about Tebow. I know we have to get back to our list, but it's worth doing sports.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
So
he might have lost by the time people hear this.
That's true. Well, I think he very likely will have lost to the Patriots. But, the thing that's remarkable about him is here's how influential he is. He goes to one knee in prayer to Jesus, to his Lord and Savior.
Presumably.
And now it is called Tebowing.
Yep.
He is now, in that sense at least, Trump, the guy who he's praying to. It's interesting.
And people have been doing that.
I know.
For it's been going 70 years,
since sports have been invented.
It's not named after a pope. It's not named after – it's named after the football guy.
You ever notice that when he throws an interception, he looks down? You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
He looks down, Brian.
Like, thanks, Satan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What did I do to you?
Mm-hmm.
And for the record, he went down to one knee and took his helmet off on the field. Those are two violations of celebrating.
Got away with
throw
it.
Throw the laundry.
Do over. That's what I say.
By the time this airs, people will know if I'm an idiot or not. Probably am. But I think I had a friend, our former guest, Rich Jamiro, was in Vegas. And I think about having him put down some money on the 49ers plus 3.5.
No one cares.
And
like
the under.
No one cares
like
about
it. At home?
Don't like it.
What?
Plus 3. Oh, I can't talk about those things.
Okay, 49ers. The way it works, Dave, is they will declare one team to be not as likely to win.
I've heard about what happens.
You know, ironically, Roethlisberger looked more like.
I can't talk about
it. I can't talk about something.
Looked more like Jesus from Passion of the Christ out there on his bum leg. He looked like he was limping around like Jesus from Passion of the Christ, ironically.
As much as you can talk about it, because I am
ironically,
curious about
Brian,
it.
You see what I'm saying?
The gambling on the football is completely is not only sanctioned, Dave's but is totally legal and encouraged in Las Vegas if you're in the casinos.
In a state. If we're not in that state.
I know, but if you were, say, doing something like some podcast from a casino, would you talk about it, or would that sort of be verboten?
That's a moot point. I don't think the NFL's putting me in any casinos.
All right.
Don't talk about this.
Just the sort of willful distancing of themselves from this doesn't exist. I don't know. It's always weird to me. Dave's nodding.
I really have been told that, hey, don't bring up.
Oh, I understand.
Don't bring up that guy got in trouble with the law for possession of marijuana and stuff. You don't make fun of that. It's like, listen, you understand. I'm not the one who got arrested. Yeah. I'm commenting on it. That's it. I didn't do anything wrong. But anyway,
it's like when I used the N-word on the air a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was quoting a movie. Yeah.
You're familiar with lawyers,
and
right?
And stupid N-words.
Lawyers and lawyering and big corporate America and giant lawsuits occurring. That's what that's all about, right? It's playing it safe.
It's good.
Why are you?
That's
like
good.
Walk
cut that
the
out.
Line.
Cut that
I'd
out.
Like to walk the line.
Watch the Joan Rivers episode of Louis C.K. I just watched it. The show Louis. You know, it's nice to take stands. You know, about your integrity and everything. But then again, you know. You don't go into a casino and badmouth into Trump's casino and badmouth Donald Trump.
Sure,
same sort of thing.
It's going to end badly.
I'm not asking. I'm sure
plenty of people do when they're losing, though. I'm sure plenty of people do at the craps table.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that'd be nice. Actually, there's actually a face you can put to your hatred. It's like you go into the Excalibur. What are you going to be pissed at?
I once got run off a
Merlin
Galahad.
The closest I've ever come to something like that was I was once on a 21 table in Vegas, and I was getting. Bad hand after
bad
hand.
Did you and I
hand.
Ever play? You and I played together in Vegas.
It's weird that would happen at 20 at blackjack.
I know.
Strange.
Well, we had a dealer. Her name was Hong. And
I was with you.
You were with Hong?
I remember. I'm 99% sure
I said, are you going to make nice cards for me?
Not
and
a lot
she
of
said
Asian
she was.
In Vegas.
She said, yeah. She said, I'm going to make nice cards. And then she didn't. She did the opposite.
That's Dave's thing. Make nice cards, Hong.
And she was going to give nice me bad. She kept giving me bad cards. So I started calling her a liar. And then I was warned. And then one time she busted me and I said, Hong Kong Fooey. And then I got run out.
Yeah.
I met up with you for that. But Dave's thing is, he says to the dealer, hey, make nice cards.
You know what I do? I've flipped it. Actually, I don't go to Vegas.
You're
going to
use that, aren't you?
I go and I say, I'm just here to lose. Just give me some shit cards. And sometimes they even get mad if you ask for shit cards and you use profanity. It depends on which casino you're in. But yeah, I've been run out of a few tables. And I'm not – it's always like jokingly mad. I'm trying to like lighten the mood because inside I'm so dead and I'm so upset. But I'm like trying to have a good time and they don't even want you to have a good time.
I'll be there for the two title games of the NFL this year. I'm going out there, actually.
In Vegas?
Meeting up some chums.
I was there last year for the Super Bowl, and it's a great time.
I can't wait. I've always gone out there for Sweet 16 weekend with these guys from Chicago, my college chums, and now I'm going to meet them out there
for
these
title games. You're going to goddamn love it, Dave.
It's going to be great, I bet.
You ever been to – sorry, this is way off top. You ever been to Legacy Stadium out there at the Palazzo?
Yes.
It's a huge sports bar. It's crazy.
It's a theater, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's neat. Yeah, I have been there once.
Sorry, Anderson, number three, athlete turned actor.
My number three, he was drafted by the Cleveland Browns in 1956. Did a lot of stuff as far as rushing and running and throwing and passing, even though he wasn't a quarterback. His name's Jim Brown.
I was just going to say his most important rush, of course, was when he dropped those grenades on the Nazis. Got rid of the Nazi scourge and their women.
Still not at old at all when I hear him
killed all
Nazis.
The ladies.
That's Robert right. Jefferson.
Listen, you got to cast a wide net.
30,000.
Telly Savalas. He almost ruined the whole thing, though.
I thought you were going to say Mars Attacks.
That movie almost made my movies that hold up or movies that are now instantly streaming because 30 Dozen is one of them. Have you seen that
Confession,
recently, Brian?
I've not seen the whole thing.
What?
Wow. How could you only watch 9
it's
of the 12?
I know. It's a peach. Lee Marvin.
The Dirty Half Dozen.
Oh, it's so good. It's so, so good. Telly Savalas is one of the creepiest characters you'll ever see in that movie.
Leering. Yeah,
he's a rapist, essentially.
He wants to put himself on the fur line and... nearly gets them all killed. Bronson is the moral care. He lives. Lee Marvin lives.
No, spoiler. I'm not seeing this yet.
All right.
This is streaming? Streaming?
I will check that out for you. But Jim Brown, been in a ton of things. He's got to be on there mainly for his character, which was one of his earlier movies that he ever did, which was
The Dirty Dozen. I could be wrong, but I think that movie in particular is why he left the NFL. I think that he left early to shoot that
I've seen
picture.
Enough of this film to see that he is in phenomenal shape. I mean, he's like the peak of his physical powers.
And then he threw, allegedly, at least one of his women off a balcony in real life. And then he did Mars Attacks, which is an underrated picture. Sometimes you'll see Jim Brown. I've seen him driving around
Well, it's that
LA,
hat. It's that funny hat.
Because he always has the – yeah,
the pillbox hat.
Yeah, that, I forget what that's called.
It's the it's a traditional African garb,
yeah,
right?
It's a guy, well, I forget what that's called. But anyway, you see
Logan,
him driving around.
Called?
And he drives around in a black Mercedes, I think it was what it is, convertible. And you just see him driving around town. I've seen him a couple of times. I thought there just went Jim Brown in a car. That's weird.
Almost the first thing I think of when I think of Jim Brown is people asked him about OJ after the fact. He's like, I used to tell people, man, that dude is dangerous. And it's like, well, ominous. Like, he knew OJ was going to snap. Sorry, go ahead, Anderson.
He did announce his retirement from professional football during the shooting of the Dirty Dozen.
Ah, so I'm not wrong.
And he just go see that movie, Brian.
He was thinking, oh, this is going well.
I've heard Capricorn 1 is a really good picture.
Until the very last frame, and it's disturbingly awful.
Oh, really?
Freeze frame.
And Mars Attacks, like I say, is underrated. It was so cartoony and satirical. It's a satire and it's ridiculous, but it's actually plays as kind of funny.
I didn't like that movie at all. But I went in thinking it was going to be something completely different. I have not seen it since. I couldn't take all the ridiculous characters at the end.
I predict you'll like it because I thought, oh, what an awful.
I was all pumped up, man. I was counting the days till it came out. Saw like opening day in the theaters. I'm like, what a piece of shit. But you're right. There's a lot of movies. You know what? Big Lebowski kind of like that. When I first saw it in the theater,
yep.
I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
I went back and saw it again in the theater to make sure that I was right, that I didn't like it. Turns out my favorite comedy of all time.
Lebowski's a great one for that. And the reason for that, I would guess this is true for me too, is that's the picture that comes out after Fargo. And so your expectations
are...
No, that wasn't it because
I didn't even like Fargo that
for
much.
For me, that
was
it, Dave.
What
yes,
it was...
I agree with you.
Also, more so, is the storyline is so complex. There's so much going on that you're following the storyline, less laughing at the lines and the subtleties. And you go back, you already know the storyline. You can just laugh at all the
goodness
going on. But Fargo, a lot of people love Fargo. I thought it was okay.
That's a terrific picture.
I think it's my favorite Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah.
The top three for sure.
What about Blood Simple? I love Blood Simple.
Yeah. Although not as good as Fargo.
Literally
inferior.
Answer your question. The Dirty Dozen. Now, if you are a Netflix subscriber, you can watch it immediately. Turn the show off and start watching.
No Country for Old Men might be in top three.
I would have to say No Country you would like more than Fargo. That's just me.
Yeah.
Fargo's just so goddamn bleak. So bleak.
Yeah. Oh, it's wonderful, the look of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just nothing but just bleached out picture.
I love the same thing, true story.
And the other thing, that's a different conversation with the Coen brothers, but the not nearly as good as the pictures we're talking about, but Billy Bob Thornton in The Man with
Man Who Wasn't There.
Talk about look. I mean, just the look of the picture. It's glorious, gorgeous.
It was like
black.
A new kind of black and white.
It's
that they
gorgeous
never used
black and white, and everybody smokes in it. And the smoke, the plumes of smoke are wonderful to look at.
I'm kicking the nails. I can't.
But I just don't love it. But I do. James Gandolfini. And he have a great run in that picture.
You know, the Coen brothers got a TV show coming out soon.
Wow.
No way.
Harvey Carbo. Look for that. Later this year, it should be coming around. I've been meaning to mention that, and I keep forgetting.
Baldy.
Number three for me. A movie that was fairly influential on a young little league playing, Bald Brian. Before he was Balding Brian at that point, 1989. I was 11 years old. And Bob Uecker in Major League was just about as the funniest thing I'd ever seen at that point. Bob Uecker, Major League, was fantastic. It's Harry Doyle, the commentator for the Cleveland Indians. And there goes Dave crossing something out.
No, I actually was crossing out Jim Brown. I had thought about that. Yeah, he is great. Uecker is great in that. And I'm trying to think if that's one of the pictures, a baseball movie that has actual
Gorman Thomas.
It has – no, incorrect. Pete Vukovich.
Pete Vukovich, the big league chew guy.
Is the Yankee slugger. Yes, I forget what his name is in the picture. But yes, he is a real he's, of course, a pitcher.
He resembles Gorman Thomas. Is that what? Why
because
he
has the
confused?
Fu Manchu.
Yeah, that's exactly
yeah.
Right.
Well, Pete Vukovich and you're all – no, they also were on Harvey's Wallbangers, the Brew Crew, Milwaukee Brewers, in 1982 that went to the World Series and lost to the –
Orioles.
To the Cardinals. No.
Those Orioles you're
83,
four, you're after.
Inside baseball, Brian.
Yeah, 83, the Orioles won the World
Series. Cal Ripken's only World Series.
That's right. 82, though, yeah. That's what Pete Vukovich, though, is the slugger.
That's right.
Pretty interesting.
I must be in the front row.
That's right. Miller Lite commercials.
I loved his commercials.
The commercials are great. Mr. Belvedere, never saw a single episode. But I will say fuck TV. The line that everyone remembers and everyone always quotes from Harry Doyle from that movie is, you know, of course, just a bit outside. But it's the second half of that line that's the key. It's where he goes, he's calling the game, and it's the first game of the year, and he's all psyched up. He's really happy for the season. He's bipolar because he gets super excited, and then he gets super low when the Indians don't do well. And Charlie Sheen throws one, misses everyone completely, hits the backstop, just a bit outside, tried the corner and missed. And he's tried the corner and missed is the key to the line. Just like in Taxi Driver when he's like, you talking
no,
to me?
Careful, careful.
Well, I'm the only one here. That's the key to the line is I'm the only one here.
There's plenty of keys to all those lines, that entire sequence. With
but
it.
People always forget just a bit outside.
You're talking to me, though. It's just as important. You're right. You're both sides of that. That's the movie he was quoting, Dave, when he used the N-word. He was talking Marty Scorsese's line in the back of the cab. You know who lives there. Yep. Brian, finish the line for me.
I will not.
Which I did not ask him to do.
No, now we're doing it for humor. I was doing it for movie sake back then, artistic.
You know what? I'm interested to see, too, and I'm going to check it out. But those Miller Lite ads from the 80s are hilarious. I think it's my dad's favorite comedy of all time, are those Miller Lite ads with Uecker. My seat must be in the front row. I bet those are on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. I watched one. They're
funny. Have you? Okay, cool. I want to check those out.
Uecker played six seasons, batted 200, and even 200, right in the Mendoza line. And before there was a Mendoza line.
Wasn't the Mendoza line like 212?
Or was it 200? Exactly 200.
Exactly 200?
Named after Tito Mendoza?
Mario Mendoza. Played for – he was a well-traveled middle infielder guy. Yeah. Played for the Mariners. I think when he had his infamous season, he was a Mariner. But he played for the Pirates, and I don't know who.
I know he played for them.
And Mr. Johnny Carson gave him the nickname Mr. Baseball, and it stuck.
Johnny Carson played baseball? I was not aware.
How dare you. Dave, number three.
Well, I'm pouring over this list here. I'm going to go with the one, again, favorite performance because I went to matriculated with him at Indiana University. Oh. And I remember I had a class with him. I one time had to study with him and our respective ladies. The four of us had a study session. I don't know why we
double
date. What a terrible
Calvert
idea.
Calvert Chaney.
Double state.
No, Matt Nover.
Who's
the,
Matt Nover?
They've forgotten. They had an Iron Five in 1992-93 era. Coach Knight had quite a team. You know, this is an era of juggernaut basketball teams. This is Jamal Mashburn's Kentucky.
Was that a Final Four team?
They went in 92. They went to the Final Four and played Duke and lost in a close one there. And then in 93, they were number one all season, and Alan Henderson hurt his knee. Neither here nor there. So right before the tournament started. But Matt Nover was the white guy who would guard the likes of Christian Laettner and Juwan Howard and Chris Webber. And he was sort of a nondescript player, didn't play in the NBA. He was 6'9", I believe, you know, country boy kind of a guy, but a delightful fella to kibitz with. But dynamite in the picture. He's in Blue Chips.
Oh.
Now we see Penny Hardaway and Shaq Fu.
That's right.
But you know the guy on the farm whose father's like, what kind of Baptist are you? Or what kind of Methodist are you? I forget what the
was he the one with the bag of money? Was that him?
He's one that he wants the tractor. Yeah. And he needs the bag of money, that kind of stuff. Yep. We got to get him a tractor. And
Nolte's trying to rustle
the father
up some
says,
money.
What kind of Baptist are you? First Baptist or Southern Baptist? And he says, First, I think. He's like, good, because we don't like the Southern Baptist, which is, I think, I don't know, but I believe is intended as a racist sort of a remark. But Matt Nover is the kid. But the worst thing in that picture is that Bobby Hurley is represented in the first, or maybe it's the last scene, as a member of the Indiana Hoosiers.
Oh,
I don't know if I should be
Bobby
more
Hurley.
Upset that he wears our colors, because I went there. I don't know if that's more offensive, or if I'm a Duke guy, I would absolutely
be
hate
sick.
Seeing that.
Well, he got his.
God
That's not
him.
Funny, Dave. That's not funny.
God smote him.
That's what you get. Anderson, fine choice, Dave. Didn't know Matt Novak?
Matt
Nover.
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 Matt Nover. Didn't know Matt Nover.
Ricky Rowe apparently played. That was the name of the
Ricky
character.
Ricky Rowe, right. Yeah.
Did you know ahead of time going into the film that he was going to be in it? I mean,
I did
you kept
know that,
in contact
yeah. with yeah, him. Yeah, yeah. Because, in fact, this is right at the time just before he shoots it. I think that movie comes out in 93, right?
Oh, so he's just out of college.
93, 94, probably.
Huh.
So, there was even talk while I was there that he was going to be doing that.
Cool. Dave? I mean, Anderson?
I'm Anderson. Good
number
to meet
two.
You. All right, this is going to be somewhat controversial. Probably not quite as controversial as my number one pick.
Okay. Right.
But he was a professional boxer for a time, Brian.
Okay. Randall Tex Cobb.
Negative.
Oh.
Good choice.
That's a great one. I hope you have it on your list.
I don't, but that's what I just thought of it just now. Like, fuck, that would have been a good choice.
He was in a number of movies in the early 80s. He was a Hollywood's heartthrob for a while.
Oh, and, Michael Biehn.
He was not your heartthrob, Brian.
Sorry.
He
works out at my gym.
Really?
I see him. Yeah.
He was our guest on our show.
Is that right?
We're talking about
Michael Biehn. Really? Love Michael
Biehn. We're talking about Michael Biehn?
We're always talking about Michael Biehn. That's subtext.
We're talking about Mickey Rourke, because that's what I'm talking about.
Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke.
Wow.
He was an athlete?
He was a professional boxer.
Oh, right. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
He made a couple bucks. He made more than Ricky Rowe made, I think. I don't know if Novar
this
ever
is a
made
stretch,
it.
Anderson.
It's
this
not
is
a stretch. How
well, he sort
you.
Of parlayed his acting career into.
Yes. He's like, fuck acting. And he went back to boxing. Right. And he made a few bucks boxing. And then he said, fuck that. And he went back and he played the bastard or whatever.
All right.
Diner, great movie.
Diner's fantastic. You think he was just too good looking and couldn't deal with it, so he had to go mess up his face in boxing?
Okay.
No. Come on. Some guys just can't handle those good looks. You got to know about that. Some guys just can't handle those good looks.
No, see, I'm the opposite. I'm very protective of the moneymaker.
The moneymaker.
Yeah.
Sound like Ashton Kutcher from Cheaper by the Dozen.
He was great in Body Heat before the boxing.
Angel Heart, one of my all-time favorites. That's still got to come up on a list. When we do top five twists.
You know what's a great picture is Sin City. His return to fame.
I got Anderson to watch that movie after years
great,
of begging.
Great picture. A lot of foxes.
He looked like Kirk Douglas in that movie. He looked like a thick Kirk Douglas. It was bizarre.
Yeah, you're right.
Dave, we've been doing top five lists since time immemorial, and one we did was top five. It was a stupidly named list. It was top five badass bitches. Top five strong female characters. You know,
great
all,
title. What are you talking about?
All of cinema history.
Badass
my
bitches.
Number one, from Sin City, Miho. The girl at the end with the sword who chopped up all the cops and everything. It's the baddest ass bitch of all time.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I assume somebody from Kill Bill came up, right?
Yeah, Ellen Ripley, you know, and Sarah
Connor. I'm not a fan of physically Uma Thurman, to bring it around to back to Gattaca. About 10 years ago, she was all the rage with a lot of
fellas. Understood.
A lot of guys thought she was so fine. I never got that one.
100%.
It looked like her mom's vagina was a little too tight when she was born.
Oh, come on.
You know what I mean? Like her face got stretched out a
not
little.
After
something
that.
Happened. Something happened. His best role, obviously, for me, not obviously, but Randy the Ram Robinson.
Wrestler.
Most recently in The Wrestler, where he was totally robbed. Should have won best actor for that. I don't know if he'll ever get a chance to do so again, but he was fucking
Nick
phenomenal.
Cage was originally cast
in
that role.
Weird.
That would be a weird picture.
That'd be a very strange one.
The writer-director of Big Fan wrote The Wrestler.
Oh, yep. I knew that. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Robert D. Siegel.
He's also in The Expendables, which was a huge disappointment, but I have hope for The Expendables 2. I don't know why. I got
really?
This feeling like The Expendables 2 is going to be good.
What a rare thing it is for the sequel to be better than the original.
Dark Knight. Mighty Ducks 2.
Pretty rare.
Back to the Future 2.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. There's
Empire.
Superman 2.
Yeah, there's been about 10 or 15 in the history
Empire,
of cinema.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
You might make a case. I'll tell you what was the conversation 20 years ago, people thought Rambo was better than First Blood. Now you go back and look at it again.
No
that's
way.
Not right.
Yeah,
but,
no,
I,
no.
but at the time,
I have Terminator 2
is
better than Terminator 1.
Oh, yeah. That's a great conversation.
That's my number one sequel of all time. Terminator
greatest
2.
Sequel of all time.
In terms of how far ahead of the first one it was. You know what I mean? Like, you can have the conversation. That's why we do the show.
I'm going to still say Silence of the Lambs.
Sort of a sequel.
Same characters.
I guess
Manhunter was the first one. But yeah, it's the same thing.
But no, because that's not the same franchise.
Yeah.
That's based on the same source material, but it's you can't really
say
that.
It's the same characters. It's written by the same author.
It's not. It's one same character.
I don't think you can say
one and a half.
I think you're playing games with it. You're playing fast and loose here.
Call me out
Anderson,
like that if you
like. I don't
like
it.
All right. And you know what I'm going to say for number one, a sequel? I'm going to have to say Silence of the Lambs, probably. I'm going to stick with it.
Sorry, buddy. You're saying Mickey Rourke. The former boxer. Number two for me. Again, I don't know if you want to call wrestlers athletes, but they're performing.
Playing fast and loose. Yeah. We let you go with one.
I got two. But I know you're down with little Jesse Ventura and Predator. Jesse the Body as what was his character's name? And Cooper, Blaine Cooper. He chews tobacco. He carries a modified minigun. He has the best line of the film. I ain't got time to bleed.
Wow, not the second best line. I already
gave sorry.
You the first
aside
one,
but... from the ones that have already been established, the second best line of the ones still remaining.
You know, one of the greatest lines ever.
What are you,
Steven Seagal? I can't even remember.
Do it.
What
are
what you waiting for?
Steven Seagal in one of his movies, I don't remember what the guy in the movie was. Maybe one of you guys can help me, but he says, I'm going to take you to the bank. The blood bank.
That's great.
100% serious.
Well, a great tough guy line.
Great.
Everybody, you know, like, you know, go ahead, you know.
Make my day.
Make my day. And you're feeling lucky punk and all these kind of things.
Sure.
One that's underrated for me that I've tried. I desperately would love to employ when I get into a back and forth with anybody, like the Wheeze, for instance.
No. Sure.
I always love Murtaugh it's aka Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon, and then he goes back to it in the sequels too. Okay. So it's no accident they wanted this line to stick.
Which one?
He tells them, he's getting pummeled yeah. in the chair. Tell us this, tell us that. And meantime, they think Riggs is dead yeah. at the hand of Busey,
and he lifts his head up, which feels like it's yeah. 40
What's
pounds.
What's he say?
Go spit.
Go spit.
Go spit.
Go spit.
By the way,
greatest
it's an R-rated film.
You can say
anything you want.
Yeah. Go spit was his line. I love that.
Yeah. Hard to Kill was the name of that one. Sorry to get off track. I remember Go Spit very well sitting in the theater when I was a little kid.
Go spit.
And at the time, it was spine tingling.
As you can remember,
it worked.
As you can probably tell, Dave, I watched a lot of WWF back in the day, and I remember Jesse Ventura was so hilarious as a commentator. And I remember his thing when Predator came out right around the time. He's like, "I carried Schwarzenegger in that film. I carried him on my back. He would ask me for acting advice, and I carried him." It was always such a funny little thing. So Jesse Ventura, number two in Predator.
Well, speaking of The Ring, you did mention, and we'd be remiss, it would be an incomplete list. Randall Tex Cobb in Raising Arizona,
sure.
of course, is the guy. What is his name in that picture? He's got an ironic name, is what I remember about it. He's the guy on the motorcycle.
Yeah, I remember. He's been in so many great parts. He's a little part in Ace Ventura, and he had a part in...
He was also in Uncommon Valor.
Fletch.
You ever see Uncommon Valor
no.
with Gene Hackman?
No.
And it's a big cast. They go to Vietnam to get some POWs out.
Nice. Men on a Mission.
When those movies were in vogue, remember
sure,
that?
Sure, yeah.
They had
Delta
to go
Force.
Over to the Nam.
Delta Force.
They had to
Force.
Go get them out,
yeah.
you know.
That's exactly
Chaz
right.
Norris made yeah. a few of those.
They sure did.
But
Missing
Uncommon
in Action.
Valor, I think, came first.
No,
but
Delta Force was the one with the hijacked plane. Missing in Action was the one with the POWs.
I will go with
Leonard Smalls.
Leonard Raising Smalls. Arizona. Yeah, it's ironic because, of course,
Smalls.
He's a beast.
He's big,
beastly
yes.
figure. So, what will I go with here? You know, it's so easy to go Terry Bradshaw in Cannonball Run.
And
so
yeah.
easy.
His scene in Hooper is great when he fights. You know, he has a fight with Burt
Reynolds.
With
his palm. He cracks his helmet with his palm. Right?
Yeah, that's yeah. great. But I'm going to go a little off the beaten path here because I always found it intriguing because there's no acknowledgement of who he – at least you knew – Terry Bradshaw, when Cannonball came out, what is that, 82,
81? I would say 81, 82, right at the height of the Steelers.
Somewhere right around there. So the America knew Terry Bradshaw's this goofy country
yeah.
singing quarterback of the team that wins a lot.
Drunkard.
What was strange was Joe Klecko in the picture. He had that Joe Klecko, a member of the New York Sack Exchange Jets, lesser known but probably a better player than Mark Gastineau and the rest of those guys.
Sorry.
Steve Lyons, and I forget who the fourth member of that defensive line was. But Joe Klecko's the big country boy. His son, Dan Klecko, played for the Patriots and I think the Jets actually too. I'm not sure if he's in – I think he's out of the league now. But Joe Klecko is in overalls. And he wears a trucker kind of hat, and they drive a giant pickup truck, and he drives it with the guy, the only other movie I've ever seen, the guy who, because in Cannonball, we all remember that they have partners. No one drives by themselves.
Sure.
His partner was the murder guy in Ghost, not the guy who is partner. The guy who actually
carries out the murder.
Who goes and gets
Willie,
hit by the car.
Willie something.
And it's
Willie
crazy.
Sorry. Yeah.
That guy's a stand-up comedian, but the only two movies I've ever seen him in, Cannonball Run and in Ghost, he gets hit by the car and
yep.
then the demons
and
come up from underneath
hell.
And take him
yeah.
down. And in, but it's crazy. And at some point, they jump over. There's no ramp or anything. It's one of those ones. There's a train, and they're being chased by the police, and they go sort of Dukes of Hazzard. They vault the pickup over the train, and the police can't follow him, and they cheer. And the one's a skinny black guy. The other guy's a big hillbilly who carries a 2x4.
That's a likely
Klecko's
couple.
Thing.
Yeah. Likely couple.
And but it's when you watch Cannonball Run, like they could have just cut those scenes. What would there?
Because they spent a lot of money on that.
We're
on
not
the
invested in Klecko and his pal. There's why even include those dumb scenes? But it's Joe Klecko of the New York Jets.
Totally forget. We like I mentioned, we've done many top five lists. We did top five movies that need to be remade, like movies that
yes.
time has not been kind to. Ghost absolutely needs to be remade because it's a decent story, but the effects are bad even for 1990.
I completely agree. You know, so often Hollywood makes this mistake. Hey, this movie did really well. It was a good idea and it was well executed. Let's make it again.
Right.
But on the other hand, there are so many wonderful movies or
that weren't well executed. No one saw. Yeah.
The best example I would say is of a high concept picture is, well, Terminator 2 is airtight.
Sure.
You buy the logic of the time travel. It's airtight. There is
so
nothing
is
like
Girl.
That couldn't happen. Same thing, Groundhog Day. Yep. Groundhog Day, if that happened to you, they play out pretty much every scenario that you can come up with. Here's what I would do if I had to relive every day. This, I would do this. I would womanize. Yep. I do. They do it all. There's so many movies. It's like, that seemed like such a good idea.
If only.
It sucked.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. My number one, I think, was Cujo. That's Cujo. It was
mean dog.
Yeah, it was a great premise, probably a great story. They couldn't show anybody beating on a dog, so there were always weird cutaways.
Now they can just beat on dogs. Michael Vick's crossed that line
for
all of us.
Exactly right. No, with the CGI,
door.
You can do almost anything with CGI. You know, I mean, they can show someone beating on a dog. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it would be a real dog, but it'd look real.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Right. Anderson, number one.
It's my number one. It's time.
Time.
Time for number one. All right, I don't want any shit from any of you. All right, you guys can go spit if you don't like this one.
I know who this one's gonna be.
No, you don't. You don't.
Sudden death, Mario.
I tried to be a real prick and find like some kind of chess plane fucker who turned into an actor. No, I'm going with Jason Lee.
Oh my God, that's my number one.
You're kidding me.
Jason Lee's number one. Jason
Lee's
number one. Damage Shack, for the last year.
Jason Lee.
For the last year, we've had almost no crossover on our list. It's been bizarre. The last 2 weeks, we've had an exceptional amount of crossover, which we never do.
Last week, we did good movies that we never want to see again. We both.
And what, under the sun, how many millions of movies could that possibly be?
And Brian and I had the same number four.
Deer Hunter.
Winter's Bone. No, I'd watch Deer Hunter 3-4 times.
But yes, along those lines.
But
a heavy movie.
Heavy, heavy, dark, long. And we both had – okay, Jason Lee.
Jason
Let's
Lee.
Let's get into it.
Professional
skater.
Skateboarder. And like a legitimate professional skater. But no, I had the same
that's
thing.
That's
rubbish. Money. Hey, you had a basketball player who never even made it to the NBA as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
He was a blue chipper.
Listen, Jason Lee was not
– He played Division I high-level basketball.
Yeah,
Jason
but he
Lee.
Never made a dime. He never made a dime. This Jason Lee kid, he made money.
Oh,
my
this.
Goodness. You should
only
both be.
Tony Hawk and him, the two first two skaters to sign with Airwalk.
To ever have a shoe named after him. That's a big deal for
huge.
The skateboarders to have an Airwalk shoe. They're the first two ever.
I'm disappointed.
According to Wikipedia.
About a sports newscaster?
Uh-uh.
It's not very well rated, but Schwimmer, David Schwimmer's in it with him. I love that movie. It's really funny. I think you would like it. Kissing a Fool. It's about a Chicago sports guy. He does sports radio. He does sports announcing. Logan, have you seen this?
Why is this coming up, though?
But I was about to ask what's the performances. Are they,
well,
do they, is
Jason
there a crossover
Lee's
there?
Jason Lee's in it, yeah.
But he's just kind of a nothing role. I mean,
almost famous.
He's not in Mallrats. It's really his first thing. Yeah, almost famous was his mainstream break.
Chasing Amy.
Yeah, he was great.
Well,
Chasing
I'll
Amy.
Tell you, to me, my favorite animated picture, The Incredibles.
That's the one that I wrote down. If we were going to go down that road, we're going to have to just pick one role. It was definitely Buddy Pine or Syndrome in The Incredibles. Holy
controversially,
shit,
controversially, I chose
should have won the Academy Award that year. And I don't, that's not an exaggeration. I think the best movie of the first decade of the 21st century, I think.
I agree with you.
That's a bold statement that I will back you on that. And that's one of the reasons why, one of the main reasons
why. Is that Brad Bird, by the way?
Ghost Protocol because Brad Bird directed it. And I was thinking, give me some Incredibles, but live action.
Brad Bird directs Ghost Protocol?
Yeah. That's the big thing.
Have you seen Iron Giant?
No. I heard you talking about it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's definitely got some Incredibles in it. You can tell that he's figuring out the Incredibles when he's making it.
I haven't seen any new movies or hardly any in the last 2 years.
Iron
Giant's
like 10 years old.
I see lots of animated pictures.
Oh, get
so
it. Get, it's, if you got Netflix, you can watch it right now with the kids. The kids will love it.
Jason Lee co-starred in my number one, controversially, my number one remake of all time, Vanilla Sky. I love that movie. And he was Tom Cruise's best friend in that movie, named Brian.
He plays the friend quite a bit. But now we kind of lost him to TV with My Name is Earl. But Jason Lee called me up one day, too. Called me up out of the blue because I had a buddy who was like his assistant or something. And I had a Jason Lee's professional skateboarding shirt that I used to wear all the time. And my buddy knew that I had it. And Jason Lee, I guess, was out collecting his old skateboarding shirts. So my
he
friend
was,
threw him on the phone.
For reals, like professional skateboarding.
And I answered
he was
the
prominent.
Phone. And it's Jason
According
Lee.
According to Wikipedia, prominent professional skateboarder.
And he's just saying, I want my shirt back. But I tried to get him. I said I made him a deal. I said, you come on Loveline, be a guest because I love you. I think you'd be great. I'll give you your shirt. Come
but he's
in.
Like a Scientologist.
And he's
though,
a Scientologist. Right? So he said, yeah, I'll do it. But he was lying. He was lying.
All right. I will give you mine.
What a coincidence. Number
Jason
one.
That's a hipster right there. Jason Lee's a hipster.
Yeah, he is.
You know what's a funny movie?
See that picture?
I love him in Dogma.
Very hip looking. Very hip looking. Here's
he's not a Nazi,
though. You know what was a terrible picture? What was the one about the lesbian Ben Affleck? He's in
Jason
that
Amy.
It's
I
a
like
great
that
movie.
What are you talking about?
Oh, it's crude for crude. It's crude for crude.
That's Kevin Smith, but I thought it was less crude than a lot of his movies.
I thought it was sweet.
It had a sweet spot.
Because they say, look how vulgar it is, but it's got a heart. So what? The vulgarity
you feel that
is,
way about all
is
movies?
There. Is there? Yeah.
Like,
I don't,
what about
I
Forgetting know. Sarah Marshall? You feel the same way? Because I think that was like the perfect.
That's Kevin Smith?
No, but it's really, really filthy and crude, but so sweet.
No, I don't put those on par with
it's
one
well
another.
Done.
But I do
it's
like,
well done.
I do like Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
It's like what Kevin Smith movies should be.
That's a great. That's a great choice. That's a good. You know, people love to do the Ginger Mary Ann.
Right.
But Forgetting Sarah Marshall is the real.
Yeah.
Is the real debate. Which which of those two foxes do you take?
Mila Kunis. You take Mila every fucking time.
Kate Bosworth.
Mila Kunis or
Kate Bosworth.
Well, I watch
Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell.
Oh, you're right. They look so much alike.
I watched Deadwood, and she played she was supposed to be like a 12-year-old in Deadwood, and she was a thief and a whore, and so I will always think of her as that character.
Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
Mila Kunis. She's a fox.
She's always going to be, she beats out everybody.
Yeah.
Well, Will Chamberlain, a movie, if you haven't seen it, I really encourage you to because
you're not
going to
say
something. I say it quite a bit.
Are you going to say it?
No, I'm just going to say
Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
Are you going to say that?
No, I'm not going to say Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
That's the worst movie I've ever seen.
It's not a bad movie. Okay. It's very
It's the
fun.
Worst movie
it's
I've
a lot
ever
of
seen.
Fun. Now, there's a movie.
Wait, Dave, before when was the last time you saw Fish That Saved Pittsburgh?
Probably about 8 years ago.
I saw it on the NBA Network like 2 months ago.
Yeah,
I've never seen it.
It's a bad movie. It's delightful.
It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh, cut it out.
There was like 5 minutes scene where it was like the tryouts for everyone, and they had some kind of disco song playing. What was the song?
Bounce,
it was
Bounce.
Opportunity of a Lifetime. And it just kept on a loop for about 5 minutes, and it just showed random dudes
it's
playing
like Taxi.
Basketball.
Taxi has, Taxi Cab, DC Cab with Gary Busey, Bill Maher.
Dan Aykroyd.
No. DC Cab is Bill Maher. That's a great cast. Mr. T, those two muscle-bound twins, the bearded guys with the perms. You remember those guys? Anyway, I digress there. Now,
number one.
Will Chamberlain is in a movie called Conan the Destroyer. Not Conan the Barbarian, but Conan the Destroyer is significant for your listener because of this. That movie, I think, comes out in 85, if I'm not mistaken, 84, 85. This was a summer blockbuster. It did well, relatively speaking, for the time. Go back and watch this. It is worse than the worst movie, no matter how panned the movie could be in a summertime movie release. Oh, Green Lantern stunk.
Really?
Green Lantern is 400,000 times better than Conan the Destroyer is.
300,000.
It is so bad.
Wait a minute.
The sets are amazingly
This is your
poor.
Number one?
No. Okay. I just want to mention that Will Chamberlain is in that one.
Okay, it's rated 3.2 on Netflix.
It's really bad.
It's at the top of my list now. You can watch it immediately.
Well, Will Chamberlain is just a big glandular case at this point in his life, and he has a fight, and it's, you know, like, obviously you wouldn't be able to actually have a fight. It's kind of like
no range of motion.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But stick around for the end when Conan fights the big statue serpent that comes to life. Okay. Oh, it's great. Anyway,
is that the one with the mirrors?
That's an example. See, Will Chamberlain's a bad actor, but he was a great performer.
Okay.
Here are your three best, I think, performances by great actors. Jim Brown, who was mentioned, obviously arguably the greatest running back of all time. O.J. Simpson as Nordberg.
Naked Gun.
Nordberg,
so badly to put them on my list. The only problem I had, and I love that performance, is he only did in 2.5 scenes. The first scene, the last scene, and then in the middle, he's like catatonic.
But he is hysterical. He really is. If all you
heroin,
know of the juice.
Heroin.
The scene.
It's kind of a tall order, Nordberg. I'll give you a couple days on that one.
When he walks it, well, first of all, him on the boat and everything. But when he's in the hospital bed and Drebin goes to see him.
Yeah.
And he says, where's Nordberg? He's right here, Frank. And he's right there. There's so many great things. That has nothing to do with OJ. But anyway, combined football and acting career. The juice, you have to give him, kudos.
Yes.
But in a serious note, the best one of all, and then you had Joe Frazier as Joe Frazier in Rocky. He comes into the ring and all that kind of stuff. But the greatest basketball player combined with the greatest performance, Ray Allen. Jesus Shuttleworth. He got game. It's a boring movie. Talk about a good movie I don't want to see
Spike
again.
Spike Lee.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. But Ray Allen is dynamite in that picture.
I got many tweets about that.
He's probably going to the Hall of Fame.
I thought for sure you were going.
Ray Allen?
Is he a pro
Hall of Famer? All-time three-point shooter. Yeah,
I thought you were going Michael Jordan Space Jam. I'm hugely disappointed. Very disappointed. What about Shazam? No one said Shazam. Shaq.
I don't think Shaq that's really worth mentioning. Shaq's not much of an actor, unfortunately.
Yeah, Shaq. Well, we mentioned Blue Chips.
It's so true.
We mentioned that. And there are all those cameos. Joe Charbonneau, Rookie of the Year in 1980 for the Cleveland Indians, was in The Natural.
Was he? Who was he in The Natural?
He's just one of the players.
I was going to say, because the only prominent players were like – Michael Madsen and Robert Redford.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a real player. I think in Youngblood, Racky. Remember Rob Lowe's movie Youngblood, the hockey picture? The
Anderson does.
Minor league, and Patrick Swayze is the tragic figure in that one. He's the captain of the team. Racky cheap shots him and gives him, he's not right in the head.
Was it Rocky or was it Racky?
Racky is the bad guy who he fights at the end. I think Racky is a real.
Every time I watch Youngblood, I wish I was watching Slapshot, and I usually just stop and find Slapshot. That's usually what happens.
And by the way, that's another point.
The Hanson brothers almost made my list,
and they're real hockey players.
Yeah, they are.
They were real hockey.
They're actually offered. They're offered like another movie, and maybe even their own TV show, if I'm not mistaken. And they said, "No, we'd rather go play hockey."
Yeah, they did, and then they realized the foolishness of that decision, and then the last decade did make Slapshot.
They got sons now that are actually in the at least been drafted by NHL players. Yeah, wow. Hanson. I think his name is Chris Hanson. O.J. Simpson also, to go back to him, you mentioned Capricorn 1 earlier. He was in Capricorn 1.
Oh, is that? I'm thinking O.J. Yeah. said, I've never seen Capricorn 1, but people said, I said Jim Brown,
Elliot
but
Gould.
That's O.J.
I got many, on many lists I came across, we'd be remiss not to mention Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Airplane.
Of course.
And, of course.
Lawrence Taylor in Any Given Sunday gives a pretty solid performance as an aging linebacker.
Sure. Yeah, that's not too bad.
I'm not my top five, but worth mentioning.
I've also, Keanu. That's one of my great, that's a great list for a future day for you guys. Pitch this one to you guys, and you can use it or not. Mm-hmm. I like when actors find themselves in eerily similar situations in different movies.
Okay.
Keanu Reeves not only plays an ex-quarterback in The Replacements, well, he's a current quarterback, but he was a former Ohio State quarterback. Also, he's Johnny Utah.
Yeah, for Ohio State.
In Point
Break. Rose Bowl winning quarterback?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And people often say, to be cute with me, Dave, who's better, Shane Falco, Keanu in The Replacements, or Johnny Utah in Point Break? No. Johnny Utah is better. Why? Because his Ohio State team played in the Rose Bowl. That means they won the Big Ten that year.
Yep.
Shane Falco's team went to the Sugar Bowl. That means Michigan or someone else won it.
Exactly.
I'm in here with two idiot savants.
There you go.
Two of them.
Now, other ones.
Was Penn State in the Big Ten
back then? My favorite one, I'm not clear on that. Okay, they might have won it. But here's my favorite one of these. And then you can come up with the rest of them. Because I only really have two.
Good.
Kevin Spacey.
Okay.
In Seven and in Usual Suspects, is the subject of a police sketch artist. I think that's awesome. And if I were Kevin Spacey, I would have those two things framed in my home.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Side by side.
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
And the Seven guy should be ashamed of himself because he should be professionally humiliated because the police artist in Usual Suspects gets him pretty much spot on. And this is being interpreted through a burned guy who doesn't speak
from Israel or something like that. Or a Turk or something. I agree. However, I will give the guy in Seven a break because he only caught a glimpse of him. Remember he was taking a picture and he ran away?
That guy is burned and doesn't speak English. I think that makes it even Steven.
That's absolutely right.
And Ed Norton Ed Norton has been in prison in, I think, 90%. 9 or 10 of his movies. I think literally 9 or 10 movies. How weird is that? In prison, 9 or 10 of your movies. Strange.
Solid basketball player, though, as evidenced by American History X. He can play some hoop.
He catches an alley-oop and dunks it behind his head.
He does a reverse jam.
I don't know if that actually happened. That might have been some cinematography.
He may have had a trampoline.
Could be.
Either way.
All right, guys.
Let's hear our listener top five. Our listeners tweet us. They Facebook
they
us.
Neat.
And we get a top five from them.
Oh,
let's
good.
Go. Logan, give us your top five.
Number five, Alex Karras.
Alex
Karras. I see. I'm not a sports guy, so
know a lot about sports.
Apparently,
I'm not going to be able to pronounce.
Definitely Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, he punches out the horse. Yeah. Manga, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he punches out the horse. Candy cream
from Blazing Saddles.
Logan, you ever seen Blazing Saddles?
I have. I saw it actually in a theater a couple months ago.
I don't think it holds up. I think it's hilarious.
I think it's great. The producers
it's
is
pretty
funny.
I like
to choose. That's producers.
I like how easy it was to get away with racism back then.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks.
A lot of funny. A lot of funny jokes in there. Number four, Ray Allen from He Got Game.
Yeah.
Number three, a movie from my childhood, Michael Jordan in Space Jam.
That's stupid.
That's bad.
And number two, O.J. Simpson in The Naked Gun.
All right, you're back. Good job, listeners.
And the number one, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Airplane.
Yeah. Is he Captain Unger or Captain Over?
Do you know who Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is, Logan?
I do. He's a tall black basketball player.
Do you know what his real name is?
There's no way.
Not his real name, but his first name.
You know what's funny is I've actually asked this question while doing nerd walking for the Corolla show, and I can't remember.
You
it
don't
now.
Know yourself, Logan.
Yeah. It's a sad irony that it was Lou Alcindor is the correct answer to that. And Lou Alcindor is a great name.
Yeah.
That's gone. And Muhammad Ali is a great name, but the greatest name in the history of mankind is Cassius Clay.
That's a great name.
If I were named Cassius Clay, I would rule the world if I were Cassius Clay.
Do you want some honorable mentions from there?
Sure,
from
for some good suggestions.
How insulting is that to people with boring names like Mike Smith and Cassius Clay changes his name? It's like, fuck you, you asshole. You had a great name. Now you have a pretty good name, but I'm Mike Smith over here. That's not cool.
Yeah, William Gay. Now he should change his name.
Worst selling jersey.
Cody Fag. You know, get rid
of that.
Are
you kidding me?
You know.
That would probably be like the best selling one.
Will Gay?
Just people buying it as joke gifts.
Will Gay?
Tell me you've done that.
Jimmy Kimmel gave me that for Christmas one year. Gave me a Steeler shirt. I thought, oh, a Steeler jersey. It's 22. Oh, Gay.
Perfect. Of course.
See, Logan, great minds. You should be very proud of yourself.
All right. Okay, some honorable mentions. Randy Couture in The Expendables.
Oh, that movie sucked.
You know, Sylvester Stallone's been in a lot of movies in very similar situations as well. Okay, let's move on.
And he writes them. Stallone. Puts himself in those situations.
Stallone's in a lot of similar.
Okay. Roddy Piper
they
in They Live.
Live.
Oh, that's a
they
good
Live.
One.
You have the sunglasses.
That's a great one.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Game of Death.
Oh, the Bruce Lee.
Oh, yeah. That's great. There's some great pictures of that
online. I started to say that before. He's like Will Chamberlain when he fights
Bruce Lee.
Him standing next to Bruce Lee is just bizarre because he's like almost double his size. It looks like CGI, but it's not.
Yeah.
We got Dan Marino in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Terrible.
Yeah. Two scenes.
We have Shaq in both Kazam and Steel.
Yeah.
Those are both wrong.
Awesome.
Good Lance moves. Armstrong in Dodgeball.
Yeah.
I was going to say, where's your Lance Armstrong?
That was my top five cameos.
Bald and cancer.
Cam that's Neely in Dumb and Dumber.
Yep.
He was Seabass. Kick his ass.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
Mike Tyson in The Hangover.
Plays himself.
Cameo, yeah.
Brett Favre in There's Something About Mary.
Terrible. Favre.
And
it's actually not good.
Listener Sean Connor got me laughing. Just this isn't a real one, but it's Kobe Bryant in Accused.
The Accused.
That's funny because it's the rape scene. And that, I like that. I appreciate that.
Oh, Kobe. Thanks to Dave Damischek for coming by and shooting the shit with us, man. Thanks for talking film. And
what a pleasure.
That was
finally
a good time.
Made it happen.
You know your shit, man. It's intimidating. It's scary how much your brain works like Brian's as far as you just have all these nuggets and crazy shit just stored in there.
Give me a call sometime.
You want to come to my wedding? Brian, you're out.
Dave, damn it! The 151st invite.
I only need one idiot savant at my wedding.
Well, there's only room for one of us. That's another great movie line. There's only room for one of us.
Go spit.
Go stand up. Go spit.
That's another one of my favorites. Is the cops who argue about whose crime scene this is? We just talked about that on the Corolla.
That's right.
Show. This is my crime scene.
You can have it. Take it. I'm out of here.
What cop would fight? Oh, really? All right, I'm out of here. I'll be at the bar.
Have you seen J. Edgar?
Let me know how it turns out.
You seen J. Edgar? Don't see new movies anymore. That's kind of like the birth of it, where it all began with the FBI, and then they're coming on, and they're taking over the crime scene. That's like it's kind of the inception of all of that and how it all went down. It's interesting. That's cool. Yeah, but there's a lot of fighting over who gets to work.
Yes.
I can't imagine. Somebody came in and said, this is my studio. I'm working tonight. I'm like, cool. I'm going home.
You're out of your jurisdiction. Oh, I am?
I didn't realize I was setting my bounds.
Awesome. Getting paid, though, right? Stole the clock? Cool.
Thanks again to Aurora.
Is there any good place to eat in this jurisdiction? Because I'm going to go over there.
I really am out of my jurisdiction.
I want to get some food on my stomach.
Yeah. Thanks to our feature artists of the week, Brian Anderson and Brian.com. All of our feature artists, all of our sponsors, all of everything. Check out the Miss Movies Minute. I talked enough about that this week. Dave, what about that beer? What about that beer you said you were going to get?
What, you and me?
That beer that never happens.
Any good place to get a beer in the jurisdiction?
Beer that never happens.
Now, what do you mean? You want to get a beer?
Yeah, let's go get a beer. Anderson got to work.
Oh, he does, eh?
Yeah.
I got this scene.
We decided there's about half dozen good sports bars between you, your work, and this work. So let's
back. Yeah, go to Jocks or Daly's. I'm allowed to go there. All right, guys, everybody, thanks for listening as usual.
Who would do it for?
We're doing it for Van Gogh.
By now, you probably figured out the rest of the song, but I don't give a flying fuck why you think it's all coming down. Something's missing.